Call with Liz Brown. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome to the morning wake up call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. This show. So much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Wow. As usual, where do we begin? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Wow. There is, I don't know. Remember that, y'all watch Love Boat, you know, on Nickelodeon. You watch Love Boat when it was on. You familiar with Love Boat? It's an odd place to start, isn't it? Remember Love Boat? what was that? The theme song from Love Boat. Love is in the air, right? Well, I was thinking about Love Boat as I prepared for my show this morning. Thinking about Love Boat. Love is in the air. Only I would say that revolt is in the air. It's amazing, folks. There is such a powerful, positive, empowering spirit. Despite all of the news, despite all of the bad stuff that is going on, there is such exciting, empowering. Out of the ashes, is that what they say? Out of the ashes? Of destruction, of deceit, is bringing an amazing revolutionary rebellion, speaking truth to power. And it's if you just close your eyes and feel the beat of the world right now, oh, it's on the move. It is on the move. From Bolivia to Venezuela, from France to Utah, there is a spirit of revolution and rebellion going on, speaking truth to power. And I say, come home to St. Louis. Because I do not want you to let go of the extraordinary achievement last week, the world altering achievement last week. And I was reminded of what we did on Tuesday, Election Day, when I was reading a story and listening to the stories about what's going on in France. Chirard, the president of France, accepted through his prime minister some legislation that would have made it difficult for young people to have the same types of retirement programs that their parents have. They work hard, and they know that they are entitled to for what they put out. They're entitled to some things from their government. And the youth in France said, took to the streets in some violence, with some violence and with some non-violence. President Chirard last week said, I don't care, I'm not feeling y'all. And he signed the legislation into law. But guess what? Oh, what a difference protests can make. Today, the same president, today, April 10th, a Monday, the same president is saying, oh, my bad. No, I don't think we're going to do that. The same president said that. And I think that the story in France has a parallel to what has happened here in the city of St. Louis. The story in France is the reason why Chirard backed off of this legislation off of this law, said, I'm not going to follow it. We're not going to do this. We're going to undo this. What did we say when we were kids? A do-over. And I'm convinced that the reason that he wanted a do-over with this is not solely because of the protest, but like what happened here with the St. Louis Public School Board and the unseating and the destruction of Slay's efforts and actions. Is it was a number of things over a course of years that caused him to, Chirard, to say, you know what? I haven't been strong in the election. People have been, there has been unrest in the streets. I'm trying to get reelected. Oh, we need to roll differently within this. We cannot afford to take them on. You have power, ladies and gentlemen, and you demonstrated it on last Tuesday. And don't let them tell you otherwise. Headlines reading about the angry have voted. No, and I would differ with that headline. The angry Jim Buford Slay, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy, Jim? Who's your daddy? So the angry have voted. No, that's not right, Jim. Folks weren't angry. They were mad as hell. And there's a difference. They were mad as hell. And they said to you and to Francis Slay, we're not going to take it anymore. We've seen what you do. We trusted you the first time around. We trusted you. We believed that you weren't liars and thieves. And after 3 years, it was inescapable to most people. Some of us got it from the beginning. Nobody could ignore it 3 years later. Nobody could dismiss it. And what you did was historic. What you did was world-changing. And what we did has repercussions that are percolating all throughout the State House and City Hall. And we can't stop. The actions going on with this immigration bill are showing you that you can't stop. Tens of thousands of people are turning out every single opportunity, every single time that they are being called. And they're changing legislation. We can't stop. It's a new day. It's a different day. We can't stop. We control this. We must take this victory and know that we can do this and do more, because it's not over. This is not the only change that is happening. You can see it. You can feel it. If you close your eyes, just feel the beat of the rebellion that is going on out here, the changes that are going on, and move with it. Because there are serious changes that need to be made in our world. And the world is feeling what we've been saying. The world is feeling what we have been saying. Let me just share this with you. Bush's approval ratings hit a series of new lows. The AP Ipsos poll shows that Republicans are surrendering their advantage on national security. Grim election news for a party struggling to stay in power. You think? The poll numbers are scary. We've lost every advantage we've ever had, said GOP pollster Tony Fabrizio. The good news is that the Democrats don't have much of a plan. The bad news, says the Republican operative, is that they may not need a plan. That's our job. That's our job. We have to remember that the Democrats don't have a plan, and we've got to make sure that they get one. And as the AP is reporting, we're not just talking about the future ambitions, the future, what's the word I'm looking for? Dukester ambitions of the Republican Party, you know. An antique multi-million dollar commode in every congressman's bathroom. It's not just their reputations or their ambitions to get reelected, to buy or to steal antique commodes. The concern is that the Democrats could bury Bush's legislative agenda, one would hope, and push for high-profile investigations of the Iraq War. Huh. 1,300 adults were surveyed. Survey says 36% of the public approves of Bush's job performance, his lowest ever rating, 36. By contrast, his job approval rating just before Election Day in 2004 was 47%. You want to know what it was in 2002? You want to know what it was in 2002? In 2002, he had a 64% approval rating. So he's gone from 64% in 2002 to 36%. Only 40% of the public approves of his performance on foreign policy and the war on terror. That's another low watermark for Bush's presidency. That's down 9 points from a year ago. And in 2002, 64% backed him on terror and foreign policies. He's in over his head, said a real estate broker and an independent voter. 30% of the public, as bad as Bush's stuff is, 30% of the public approves of the Congress's, the GOP-led Congress's performance. Ouch. By a 49 to 33% margin, the public favors Democrats over Republicans. And the 16-point advantage that the Democrats have is the highest ever, the largest that the Democratic Party has enjoyed. On the issues that the Republicans have maintained control over forever, 41% of people say that it's a tie between Democrats and Republicans, which party can be trusted to protect the country. Four five four oh four hundred is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Y'all need to understand what's at stake here. Spent all last week, and the week before that, talking about this voucher bill. Why am I bringing it up now? Why am I bringing it up again? Because George W. Bush is coming to Jefferson City tomorrow. You know why he's coming to Jefferson City? And this is just to make it clear for all of y'all out there about who is supporting whose agenda. George W. Bush is coming to Jefferson City tomorrow. Tomorrow. That's Tuesday. Tomorrow. And he's coming here to twist the arms of outstate legislators who said no to the voucher bill last year. We don't talk about anything but national issues on this show. You know what I'm saying? The reason I brought you all that information about the voucher bill is not simply because it's a St. Louis issue. The reason why I talked about Ted Hoskins and Rodney Hubbard taking money from the voucher people and saying that's what the people wanted. Let me get this straight. George Bush, whose approval rating is 36%, is coming to twist the arm of outstate legislators on this voucher bill. And what is it to do with the city of St. Louis and the schools? This is not a Republican issue. George Bush's approval rating is at 36%. And he's still coming to Jefferson City to try to get his voucher bill passed. And you have two legislators in Jefferson City that are kicking the water, that are carrying or trying to aspire to Duke Cunningham's where to show money lifestyle. And they're pushing this agenda. Then let me just try to make it clear. If George W. Bush is for it, where should you be? Again it? Shouldn't you? If George W. Bush is for it, where should your elected Democrat be? Shouldn't they be again it? Shouldn't a Democrat of African descent be double again it? not Rodney and Ted Hoskins. They saying, show me the money. Black people, four, don't let them misrepresent you. 36% of the American people say no to George W. Bush. That means 36% of the American people say no to his policies. And you have two legislators, one of them the chairman of the Black Caucus, out here pushing George Bush's agenda. Just think about it this way. Feel me this way. Check this out. George W. Bush doesn't have to twist the arm of Rodney Hubbard or Ted Hoskins. They already on his side on the voucher bill. How's that make you feel? How's that make you feel? How wrong do they have to be that George W. Bush doesn't have to twist their arms to get them to embrace his voucher policy? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Oh, yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. Oh, yes, we do. I'll be all right. Stay with me. But she doesn't hear a word that he said. Preoccupied. She's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. But she'll be praised.
Morning, St. Louis, 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 44 from Bowles to Lewis, their paving operations, two right lanes are closed. Expect a brief slowdown. Eastbound 44 from 141 Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from 141 to 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic is flowing freely this hour. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Airport all the way into 141 looks good. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to Mid River Mall is on the move. Westbound 270 at New Forest. Look for that traffic building this hour. Westbound 40 at Moon Bridge. All roadways are reopened after weekend road work. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic is building this hour. Westbound Martin Luther King at Cleeds Landing looks good. And northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems to report there. Eastbound Natural Bridge at Grand. Look for those lights not to be working. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through April, purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Warmer, mostly sunny day, high in the lower 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, sunny, high in the mid-70s. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers with a low in the upper 50s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day. Another chance for showers and a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 46 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The St. Louis Zoo presents an enrichment extravaganza on Sunday from 10 to 3. Admission is free. Zookeepers will provide enrichment egg hunt activities for the animals. For more information, call 314-781-0900 or visit stlzoo.org. Something exciting from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, my name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name's Doug.
And we are the host of the new Crime Time Live talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
With a little time and a lot of love, the bakers at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store have transformed their signature dough into bread bunnies for Easter. That's right, a rabbit made entirely of honey whole wheat bread. It's a healthier choice for your Easter baskets. It also makes a charming centerpiece for your holiday dinner. Order yours today, 314-991-0049. That's the Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store. Making people happy, one rabbit, one loaf at a time.
Here's what's coming up Monday on the award-winning Wake Up Call. At 7 o'clock, we'll be examining how the president managed to sign a bill reducing the budget deficit that was different from the one the House had passed. Does that mean the president now can step around the Constitution as he sees fit? Then on Mondays at 9, we'll look at corruption in the World Bank. Paul Wolfowitz has been in that job for over a year now, and although problems were there before him, he's not really done much to make the situation better, except to bring in some cronies from the Bush administration to help prevent any accountability. Be here bright and early Monday for more of the issues that matter most to you on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little touch of star quality. And if that's the right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I need a moment's rest, give your love a very best. Real out of town and silent.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Aleem.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm outstanding.
I've seen you since last Tuesday, and then congratulations to the our winning.
Absolutely.
But I would like to give you some constructive criticism, my sister. You say that Bill Cosby demonized the brothers and sisters down in New Orleans.
I said that he demonized poor people before he got to New Orleans. So when he was demonizing poor people, he was demonizing the brothers and sisters, that some of the brothers and sisters that live in the Ninth Ward. Absolutely.
Okay. Let me ask you something.
Sure.
You're familiar with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, of course, Malcolm X. And they have, and those teachings have criticized how we treat one another, have they not?
I am not familiar with that part of the criticism, so no, I can't speak to that. I'll have to accept your word on that.
Okay. I was listening to a tape that I have met Minister Lucifer Hahn. He was, this was back in the 90s, and he was crisscrossing the country to stop the killing tour. You remember those tours?
No, I don't.
Okay. Ain't no Stop the Killing tours. Minister Farrakhan was very, very, and this particular tape that I was listening to, he was out in Compton, California, speaking to the heart of the Crips and the Bloods organizations out there. And he was very angry at those brothers. He said, I have crisscrossed this country telling you what this government has in store for you, and you continue to kill one another. And he was and he chastised those brothers for they continuing killing one another wholesale out there. And do you think that he was demonizing his own people when he chastised those young brothers?
Do you think that he was demonizing his whole people when he chastised those brothers?
No, I don't.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm not done yet. When Bill Cosby talked about poor black women, when Bill Cosby said to children whose name was, I like your name, Aleem, saying that that's not an African name, you don't even know what African is, and that the mothers are out here trying to do nothing but buy their children expensive tennis shoes, and talking about how people need to get hooked on phonics, demonizing the way that freaking people speak, that's a demonizing wholesale of black people. Speaking to a particular group of people that have done wrong, who happen to be black, is a totally different conversation, Aleem. It's a totally different. Do you consider yourself a Crypt or Blood?
No.
Was he talking to you when he was talking to the Crips and Bloods? No. He was talking to the Crips and Bloods. I can accept that. I think that you need to say something to people who kill each other. But do not take a mother who is struggling to do the best that she can in this racist society and demonize her like Ronald Reagan did when he called poor women welfare queens and they're all out there buying Cadillacs. That's a totally different act.
Well, you know, I grew up down in the Cochran Housing Project, and I was raised by a single mother. She raised four kids, and of course, you know my older sister.
Was she buying Cadillacs and
my mom worked two jobs.
That's what I'm talking about.
And she put us through private school, and she and up in, of course, me and my sister, we came out of public school up in our junior.
Okay, quickly, please, Liam, get to your point with this.
Let me say this though, sister, we have to respect one another.
We have to do what?
We have to respect our own community.
Well, wait a minute. Where are you going with this, Aleem?
You started
with wanting to offer me some, as you described it, some constructive criticism, and then you attempted to make the comparison between Minister Farrakhan's chastising people that are committing crimes for committing crimes into the same thing as what Bill Cosby was doing. Read what Bill Cosby said.
Okay,
familiarize yourself with what he said before you jump to his defense. He was wrong. It was outrageous. And just like Dick Gregory said, when the Klan is saying, yeah, you're right about your criticism of black people, you really need to check yourself.
Believe it or not, some of the Klan agree with some of what Minister Farrakhan says.
You show me that. Got to roll. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
John, good morning.
Hi, I wanted to pick up on what you started the hour with, talking about empowerment and people turning out in the streets.
Absolutely.
Because I think, you know, turning out to vote like people did last Tuesday, that was a demonstration of the community's power, and I think it really set Francis Slay back on his heels.
Absolutely.
I mean, even Jake Wagman wrote an article in the Post-Dispatch talking about that, so you know the
Jake Wagman wrote an article about that?
Yes, he did.
Get out of here.
Election.
Get out of here.
So I'm saying the message really got through. I thought it clear.
Absolutely.
And, you know, things don't stop. They move on to the next issue.
Absolutely.
And we've got something coming up here on Wednesday. And I'm really hoping that the community stands up and says, no, we're going to take this. Because Francis Lay's trying to put a smiley face on actions which will cover up police brutality, cover up what some of the police do to people out there on the streets, and give it a smiley face and say it's reform. And people really need to not buy into that and let him know that that's just not acceptable.
Let's break it down, John. One of the things that's happening with the St. Louis Police Board or the police department is they're in contempt, right? Or they have been in contempt for a number of years. Explain that to the audience.
Well, there was a court mandate that came out of the Gregory Bell case. That was the one where the police beat up on the mentally challenged individual in his own home.
Young man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that settlement, they were required to pay some money to the Gregory Bell family, understandably, but also they wanted to have a larger effect on the community, so they mandated certain reforms in the complaint process to make it easier for people to file complaints against the police. Well, the
now, this is a court order.
That was a court order signed by the police department, you know, a settlement agreement through the courts.
Okay.
And the St. Louis Police Department has evidently just ignored their end of the bargain.
Well, no, let's not. Ignoring your end of the bargain is saying, okay, I promised you I was going to bring you some hamburgers, and I didn't bring you hamburgers. This is disobeying a court order. This is breaking the law.
That's right.
Okay, so the police department
filed a year later saying, you know, please hold the department in contempt of court because they're not living up to this, the reform of the complaint process.
They're breaking the law.
They never did. They never did comply. This is 1998 that this settlement was made.
So almost 10 years ago, this police department was ordered by law, and they had signed on to it, and they agreed that they would do this. They said that they would make some changes in the complaint process, because that's what we're talking about when we began the conversation about a civilian review board. We're talking about the complaint process. And hold on, John, we have to take a break.
Sure.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have much to talk about.
One always aches the easy fight. One praises fools. One's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Raleigh, North Carolina. A large scandal is breaking at Duke University. Two women have charged that members of the college lacrosse team raped and abused them physically, verbally, and sexually at a party held at the home of one of the team's captains. The two women, both of them black, say they were hired to perform as exotic dancers at the party held on March 13th. When they went to the house, they said they thought it was going to be a bachelor party for a small group, but instead it turned out to be over 40 men, and most of them were intoxicated. They said they were immediately inundated with racial slurs and name-calling. They became frightened and tried to leave, but one of the men came to their car and persuaded them to stay, saying things would get better. The women decided to go back in, and shortly thereafter, one of them said she was hauled into a bathroom by three of the team members, where she was brutally beaten, choked, and raped for nearly half an hour. Both women managed to escape the house and drove to a nearby store where they called police. As the story started circulating around the campus and nearby town of Triangle, the team wound up forfeiting its match scheduled for March 25th. This case has drawn attention to racial divisiveness that plagues Duke University, which is mostly all white, and the diverse working class neighborhoods that surround the campus. Duke was recently ranked as one of the top five colleges that fails to have positive interaction with its surrounding community and fails to promote any type of social interaction between students of differing social and ethnic groups. There are also two interesting side notes to this story. One, by the end of the month, all 47 of the lacrosse players, 46 of which are white, had refused to talk to police about the events of the party, although all had submitted DNA samples at the request of the district attorney's office. And number two, the residence where the attack took place was one of a dozen properties that had recently been purchased by Duke University because neighbors had been complaining about late-night parties, drunkenness, and unruly behavior by college students. This is your wake-up call, the news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on AM 920 WGNU.
Join us at the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area on Tuesday, April 18th from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. to take your young children on a walk through the woods. Join us for a stroller walk to explore the environment. We'll look for aquatic friends wherever they may be hiding. Please dress for a mess. Call 314-877-6014 for more info. News to the kids from Radio Free St. Louis.
Here's what's coming up Monday on the award-winning Wake Up Call. At 7 o'clock, we'll be examining how the president managed to sign a bill reducing the budget deficit that was different from the one the House had passed. Does that mean the president now can step around the Constitution as he sees fit? Then on Mondays at 9, we'll look at corruption in the World Bank. Paul Wolfowitz has been in that job for over a year now, and although problems were there before him, he's not really done much to make the situation better, except to bring in some cronies from the Bush administration to help prevent any accountability. Be here bright and early Monday for more of the issues that matter most to you on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Let me get back to John about the Civilian Review Board. And quickly, John, on Wednesday, what time should people be down at the police board?
Yeah, the police board is going to be voting on Wednesday on a phony Civilian Review Board proposal put forward by the mayor. And, you know, what he's saying is, let's turn, you know, the policing of the police over to these people who have been contempt of court and contempt of the community for years.
And that's the most remarkable part. We've been told time and time again, John, by the police that you don't need a civilian review board. We have the police board. That's a civilian review board. Well, let's look at it. When the police were given the opportunity to police themselves simply by following, so, and these were not very stringent dictates from this court order, one of the things they had to do was just put complaints at a place where citizens can find them and fill them out.
Right.
And
wanted
do
to
that.
Make it easier for people to file complaints.
And they didn't do it for almost 10 years.
And what has happened instead is complaints have plummeted because people saw that the department wasn't sustaining complaints.
So we're being asked to trust the department that's in contempt of a court order to do as something as simple as put complaint forms at a place where people can see them and fill them out.
Yeah, exactly. And just to show, you know, I think this is like one of the smoking guns. When we started looking into this issue about contempt of court and, you know, filing documents saying, you know, show us the policy change you were supposed to make. Well, they wrote me back and they said, well, we can't find it. But
we can't find what?
We can't find the policy change that we were supposed to have made in 1998.
1998.
So, I mean, it doesn't exist. It's not in the police manual. But what they did real quick, just last month, they said, oh, we better comply with the court order, and they issued a statement. So now if you go down there, the complaint forms will be there.
Well, wait a minute, John. Let's not say something that's not entirely not complete. The court order said that these complaint forms are supposed to be in every single department, not just at downtown. So are they at all the other departments?
No, they put them in the three major patrol divisions, but that's still not in compliance.
What I'm saying. So they're
right.
Still not in compliance. They are still in contempt.
But, I mean, it was an admission on their part that we're not. When they tried to come into compliance, you know, six, seven years later, all of a sudden they're trying to comply, and they can't even seem to pull that off.
So it's clearly.
So there's a police board meeting on Wednesday. And we need to turn out in force and let them know this is just not acceptable. It's Wednesday morning, expecting people to be at the police station at 9:15.
And where is the police station?
The station is right at the corner of Tucker and Clark. It's 1200 Clark Street.
Very
and City Hall.
Very good.
And so please turn out. We need a large turnout and let the community speak on this one.
Very good, John. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. T.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
And we should go downtown and put Joe Mocha under citizen's arrest for breaking that law. That'd be a start. And also, since we did what we did last week.
That's what I'm talking about.
Start focusing on putting Mayor Slay out of office. We should keep this momentum going.
Well, that's why this police review, the civilian, the contempt that the police department, the violation of the contempt order, or violation of the order and the police department being in contempt is something that people need to move on as well. Because it's all about the way that Francis Slay runs this city. Francis Slay is trying to hand over authority to police the police to an organization that's under contempt for not policing the police.
Okay.
It's insane.
And lastly, I was watching this propaganda TV called 2020 the other day, and with this being the Holy Week and all, they had the nerve to tell us that Mary Magdalene was not a virgin, but it was a German in out there at the time. So the father of Jesus must be a German. I guess that explains why he looks the way he looks in all these books they've been perpetrating for all these years. One lie shrouds another and it perpetuates itself. So I just thought that was awfully cute and a slap.
Thanks for your call.
Be good.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Deborah.
Good morning, Liz. Can you explain to me, or maybe your callers can explain? I keep missing stuff on TV. Trying to understand the immigration debate.
Sure.
Why some of the legal immigrants are unable to become legal citizens in the U.S. I never get an understanding why they are unable to do that.
Here's a great opportunity for you. Tomorrow at 9:00, I will be discussing that very issue. Okay, I'm having an entire discussion on the immigration issue, and that is one of the questions we will bring to our experts. Okay.
Thank you. I'll
so tomorrow 9:00.
Okay.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance is, you know what it is, 1-877-90-WGNU. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. Andrew.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You said that was a 36% approval rating?
Yes, 36% for George Bush.
I was just wondering if the other percentage wanted their money back from paying the system.
Who are you talking about?
The 78%.
Okay. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back in the next hour.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Tonight,
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Albanger.
Status as illegal. Retramos a la casa.
A vocal battle over immigration reform. That's a protester in Dallas telling illegal immigrants in Spanish to go home. On the other side of the issue.
Today, the Latino community has said, enough is enough. We're going to take a stand for fairness and justice, and we will not back down.
And there are more rallies planned for today in New York, in Washington, and in Phoenix. That's where we find ABC's Alex Stone.
The organizers here say they truly don't know how many people will show up to the two rallies that are planned, one for early in the afternoon and a second this evening, but they're preparing for more than 100,000 people. They have many pallets of water, oranges, and apples for marchers. Police say they're also gearing up for about 100,000.
And again, students across the country could cut class to take part.
Employers and schools around the country are expecting a lot of absences today. Hundreds of thousands of immigrants are expected to join nationwide protests. They want a voice in the debate over how to reform illegal immigration in this country.
ABC Sonia Crawford in Washington. It's election day in New Orleans. The polls open. In about an hour and a half from now, voters will choose their mayor and some other citywide offices. And this time, there are a lot of absentee ballots from refugees who fled Hurricane Katrina. It's still raining in Californian County. The ground is saturated. Officials are telling some homeowners to leave and make sure they take their insurance policies with them. Their homes may not be there when they return. Many are going to be torn down to keep them from sliding into other homes.
At least they gave us time to evacuate and get everybody out of there, because I guess in 97 they didn't have that. So I'm just happy we got our stuff.
It's one homeowner trying to look on the bright side. The rallies are over in France. President Jacques Chirac has agreed to change a law that would have made it harder to fire workers under the age of 26. This is ABC News.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich the bottom Eve.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny. Try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
Phil Mickelson has a second green jacket. He's this year's Masters champion. However, did you know that that coveted coat is not exactly the winner's to keep?
The Masters champion gets to keep the green jacket for 1 year. Then when he returns to Augusta National, he returns the jacket to the club. According to the official Masters website, the champion does have visitation rights. Anytime he visits the club, he can retrieve the jacket and wear it. Tiger Woods has won the Masters 4 times. Does that mean he has 4 jackets? Probably not. The website says a multiple winner will typically have only 1 green jacket, unless his size drastically changes. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
And the winner is Matt Santos, the Democratic congressman played by Jimmy Smits, won the White House on last night's edition of NBC's The West Wing. Now he'll have to look for his president, John Spencer, the actor who played running mate Leo McGarry, died earlier this year. His character, too, had a fatal heart attack. I'm Daria Albin. ABC News.
Time for a check of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston reporting this update brought to you by the Granite Works Home Show. Checking the news, a Washington, Missouri man is dead after a weekend crash involving a tractor trailer. The Missouri Highway Patrol says 27-year-old William Hartley lost control of his pickup truck early Saturday morning on westbound I-44 in South St. Louis County. Hartley struck the median wall and overturned into the eastbound lanes, where he was hit by an oncoming tractor trailer. The driver of the semi was not injured. Hartley died about an hour after the crash at an area hospital. In other news, an independent report on last December's Tomsock Reservoir breach points to stability failure as the main cause of the disaster. The report from Rizzo Associates shows that the wall of the dam at Ameren UE's hydroelectric plant was constructed with fine-grained material, which allowed water to saturate the wall. The report also cites other contributing factors, including failure of water level protection probes due to human error. In response, Ameren UE says it's creating a dam safety program, examining safety procedures at all of its facilities, evaluating employee training, and establishing a quality assurance team. And finally, at this hour, the deputy mayor of Kirkwood will go through a drug court program after pleading guilty to drug charges. Thomas Noonan was arrested last November for trying to illegally buy prescription painkillers in an undercover drug sting. Noonan pleaded guilty Friday to drug possession and attempted drug possession, but under the terms of the plea, the charges could be erased if he finishes the drug court program. If he fails to complete the program, Noonan could be sentenced to prison next July. Noonan will post in Kirkwood later this month. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by the Granite Works Home Show Special. Granite Works is having a huge spring special. It's the most unique granite you'll ever see, starting at just $30 a square foot. Mention the spring sale and get $100 off. Call 862-6300. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Hour Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic America's Drive-In. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 70 at 79 and Midland Mall, there's an accident reported in the left lane. Northbound 55 at Weber Road, there's an accident reported. Left lane blocks and it backs up to near Rivas Barracks Road. Eastbound 44 at Antire and 141, look for traffic to be building. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and 44, you've got slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Southbound 55 at 141, there's an object reported in the center lane. And westbound Martin Luther King Bridge, you can expect normal traffic for your 7 a.m. commute. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, a Miss Drive-In. Drive into Sonic for Tuesday nights for half price burgers. That's right. Get a classic Sonic burger for half the price from 5 p.m. till close. On Tuesdays, it's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny, high in the lower 70s today, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s this evening, partly sunny on Tuesday with a high in the mid-70s, then on Wednesday mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon, a chance for showers with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 47. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
With the Bloomberg Urban Report, I'm Erickson Blakeney. March job numbers showed that American employers added 211,000 workers during the month. This as companies flush with profits expanded. The jobless rate dropped to 4.7%. Breaking it down among blacks, the unemployment rate held at 9.3%, while the jobless rate for Hispanics fell to 5.4% from 5.5%. And for whites, fell to 4% from 4.1%. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez was asked by Bloomberg if the higher jobless number for African Americans was an area of concern.
No, we're not satisfied with that number, and we'd like to see it, we'd like to improve. We want every American who wants a job to be working, and we're not going to stop. As the president said, we're not stopping until every American who wants it.
This morning, after closing lower in Friday trading, stocks suffered their biggest losses since February after a government report said wages may accelerate, spurring inflation and hurting earnings.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or an investment diamond, then shop around. Get your best price, then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Save Half. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10 days no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest-priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
That's the latest in business. I'm Erickson Blakeney with a Bloomberg Urban Report.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brothers, come on, listen.
Welcome to the wake-up call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Do not forget we are streamed at WGNU.net. Also, podcast at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also, archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Check out the website at Liz Brown, L-I-Z-Z Brown. com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'm looking at the polls. George W. Bush's numbers are down to 36%. In 2002, they were 64%. These are amazing times. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And just when you think, that George W. Bush could engage in behavior engaging in behavior that's lawless, more evidence comes out. We're all familiar with the fact that George W. Bush believes that he can spy on us when he wants, how he wants, and there's no stinking laws that are going to stop him. There are no stinking rules that are going to stop him. Some people have surrendered to that. They say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Why? I don't care if he spies on me. I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, privacy is not about protecting wrongdoing. privacy is just that. And that aside, human nature says that the laws of human nature dictate that a person that steals... let me just go to my grandmama. Scratch a liar, find a thief. Okay, people that break rules, break laws, don't just confine their activities to one place where they do it. They do it all over the place. Now, George W. Bush is willing to break the laws, break the rules, twist the rules on spying on you. Know that he would be willing to. The consequence of your ignoring that is that he will break the rules, twist the rules on other issues. And we have one to talk about this morning. The Deficit Reduction Act of 2005. What does that have to do with George Bush breaking the rules, breaking the law, twisting the law to do exactly what the heck he wants to? We're going to talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, Allison Zeeve, she's an attorney with Public Citizens Litigation Group. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Allison, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am very good. Let's start with the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005. What is that?
The Deficit Reduction Act was a spending cut measure. It cut billions of dollars, mostly in entitlements, in student loan benefits, payments, cut foster care payments for grandparents. It cut Medicare and Medicaid. It cut benefits for certain medical equipment paid for by the government. It raised court file fees.
Who would it be fair to say that most of the impact of this Deficit Reduction Act lands on? Is there any one group of people? Or
older people and poor people.
Okay, so we're clear.
As usual.
As usual. Older people and poor people. Now, there, you all have come out and said that it's invalid, that this entire act is invalid. Explain that to us, Allison.
Yeah, it is invalid, and not because of all the cuts it makes, that you know, people might differ on whether or not those cuts were a good idea, whether they went in the right place. But basically, it's invalid because the procedure that they used to pass this law violated the Constitution. And there's a lot of provisions of the Constitution that people disagree on. Does it mean this or that? You know, do we have right to guns or not guns under the Second Amendment? What is cruel and unusual punishment? But one provision that's very straightforward is Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, which is Article 1 sets up the legislative branch and the system for making laws. And what Section 2, Clause 7 to be specific, tells us is that to become law, a bill has to be passed by both houses of Congress and then presented to the President for signature. What happened with the Deficit Reduction Act is through what seems to be just a mistake by a clerk in the Senate. After the Senate passed what was the final version of the bill and sent it to the House, a clerk made a mistake when she transmitted the bill over to the House and changed a substantive provision of the bill that actually is worth, we're told about $2 million in savings, $2 billion in savings for the amendment. But the point is that one provision, but because of that change, the bill that went to the House was not identical to the bill that had passed the Senate. The House then passed that mistaken version of the bill, then sent a message back to the Senate saying we've passed the bill. So the Senate then prepared the bill to go over to the White House. At that point, the clerk, realizing the mistake, changed it back. And the president then signed the bill as passed by the Senate, which is a bill the House never voted on at all. Stories differ. We've the clerk realized the error early on, told the House Republican leadership, the Speaker, that the error had been made, and he chose to ignore it. We've also been told that that no one in the House knew until after the vote, and that they told the White House before the president signed it, and the White House chose to ignore it. It seems pretty clear the White House knew before they signed it whether, and the question is just when the Speaker of the House knew.
Does it matter?
But for constitutional purposes, it just doesn't matter. The press reports about the differences in the bill came out on February 9th, the day after the president signed the bill. And so there's been 2 months now when the president could have asked the Congress to fix the error, to go back and have both houses vote on the same bill. And the White House has been clear that they're not planning to do that.
Now, who's...
That they're just enforcing the provisions of the bill. They're implementing all the various cuts that were unconstitutionally made.
Whose advantage was it from a political point of view? Whose advantage was it that the provision that the clerk added to the House version, whose advantage was that? Was that something the Republicans wanted? Was that something that the Democrats wanted?
The mistake that was made would benefit sell certain medical equipment and also patients who use certain medical equipment. But the bill itself was something that was being pushed hard for by the White House and the Republican leadership, and they were having trouble passing it.
So that's what the fear is. The fear is that if they send it back, it may not pass.
Exactly. In the Senate, it was a 50-50 tie, and so Dick Cheney had to come in and break the tie. And in the House, it passed 216-4 and 214 against. So I think if tried again, they're just concerned that they wouldn't make it.
And given the politics of the time that we live in right now, given the fact that people are headed towards election or re-election or not, there may be some changes of heart.
There may be. They had a hard time passing it the first time. And the White House really wanted these spending cuts.
And how bad are these cuts? I mean, these are pretty historic cuts, aren't they?
Well, it's a very big package of cuts. And as with most things that happen in Washington these days, the brunt of it all falls on the people with the least power, the people who need the government most.
Now, you all have filed a suit. What can a suit do in a case like this? What is it that you're asking for?
We're asking the court to declare that the law is unconstitutional.
As simple as that?
Yeah.
And what's your prognosis as an attorney looking at this?
Well, it's interesting because on the merits of the thing, that is whether or not the law was violated, it's really clear and no one's denied that the Constitution was violated. Whether purposely or by accident is the only question. But what we've been hearing is that the defense is going to be not that the Constitution wasn't violated, but rather that the court doesn't have any authority to look at it.
Because?
There is an old case from 1892 that says that when the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate sign this certification that they signed saying that the bill that they're sending to the president passed each house, that evidence is complete and shouldn't be questioned by a court. In that case, someone was alleging that the bill that was sent over was different than one that was passed, and they were relying on something called the journals that are kept sort of like minutes of what goes on in the House and the Senate. And the court didn't want to get into looking at the minutes and said there was no requirement for what evidence be, for what information be included in the minutes. And so this attestation that the Speaker and the President of the Senate signed were just enough. 100 years later, in 1990, the court explained in a different case that was really just about these journals. That case was really about journals and about what evidence you could look at and the power of the court. But apparently the White House has been saying since the day after the goal was passed, that that law, that that old 1892 opinion from the Supreme Court protects them, and in other words, it doesn't matter if the Constitution was violated, you can't do anything about it.
That sounds pretty consistent coming from this administration. Let me get to a caller here. David from San Francisco, you have a question for our guest, Allison Zeev.
Yeah, morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm particularly interested in what's been going on with these Medicare cuts, and I'm just wondering if your guest has any knowledge specifically if there are essentially massive deaths that are occurring based upon these Medicare cuts. It would seem to me that for example, the prescription program, if there are millions of people across the nation that are essentially using Medicare for their prescriptions, thousands a week could be going into complications simply because of these botch-ups. And I'm wondering if there's any kind of ongoing study. These would be people who are quietly dying at home, essentially, and instead of, Bush having to round people up and put them into camps, you just have them quietly die at home and no one would be the wiser.
Thanks for your call and question, David. Allison, can you speak to that?
So far, we're not, it's too soon for us to know what the consequences are.
Mm-hmm.
Different provisions of the Act, which was passed just 2 months ago, go into effect at different times. For instance, there's one provision that allows states to cut off the prescription drug benefits for Medicaid patients if they haven't been paying their copays. That provision just went into effect on March 31st. So it wouldn't mean they couldn't get the drugs, but they had to pay for it, which, Medicaid, which is tells you whether, gives you some clue about whether or not they'll be afford prescription drugs. So I think it's highly likely that patients are older patients and poorer patients are going to have serious medical consequences from some of the provisions of the bill, but it's too soon to know.
In terms of the a congressional response to this, what are we hearing from Democrats and Republicans as to whether or not this bill or the signing of the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005 is constitutional or not? Are they weighing in on this?
The Senate has been sort of quiet about it. Early on, they passed a...
Shouldn't they be pretty hot about it? I mean,
They should be upset. They passed a resolution early on that just said that the bill we passed is the bill we meant to pass, which is not worth. I mean, a resolution like that isn't worth anything. They did pass it, and that doesn't tell us anything about its constitutionality. It's the problem is they didn't pass the same version as the House passed. In the House, Congressman Waxman from California has been very vocal complaining about this. He wrote a lengthy letter to Nancy Pelosi in February, and he wrote to Chief of Staff at the White House, Andrew Card, asking for an explanation and documents about how this happened. And then more recently, I guess about 2 weeks ago, he introduced a resolution in the House seeking an investigation about what the Senate knew before he signed the bill, and if he signed a bill that hadn't been passed in accordance with the Constitution.
Well, that's in the long line of what did he know and when did he know it questions, isn't it? In terms of, I guess, the fact that this bill has been signed, I know that from what you've said, it doesn't make a difference of what political perspective. This looks make, if the White House knew, if George Bush knew that he was signing something that was that both houses had not agreed upon, that's a big deal politically, isn't it?
Well, it certainly should be. It really should offend people that the president would knowingly sign a bill that he knew was unconstitutional, simply because he knew he could get away with it or thought he could get away with it. And what we're trying to do in this lawsuit is prove to him that he is not above the law. I mean, as you keep intimating, he just doesn't seem to get that.
Yeah.
And one thing that, you know, that Republicans and Democrats alike always talk about that they agree is their fidelity to the Constitution. Again, they might disagree about what the Constitution means, but in this case, they don't. The bicameral provision of Article 1 is very clear and has always been interpreted to mean you got to pass the same law, because if the House and Senate pass different versions, then you don't really, what's the law?
Do you see other people joining this lawsuit, Allison?
We've been contacted by other groups that are thinking of filing similar suits. There are issues also being raised in various cases around the country where people were suing about the state's implementation of various Medicare laws or Medicaid laws before the suit was brought, and the state raising its defense, well, now we're allowed to do, we're allowed to cut this benefit that the suit is about. For instance, we're allowed to stop paying for prescription drugs because the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005 has changed the law. So there, in those suits, the states are raising the act as a defense. And to respond to that defense, the plaintiffs in these Medicaid suits are arguing that, well, but the act is unconstitutional. So
will this, is it possible for this lawsuit to stop anything from being enacted? Is it that type of a lawsuit? Can it put a halt to states enacting portion of the Deficit Reduction Act?
Not until we win. But once we win, it would be illegitimate for any state to implement a provision of the Deficit Reduction Act, because the act would be have been declared unconstitutional.
Is there anything retroactive that could happen if you win the lawsuit and states went ahead and did it, had already gone ahead and implemented components of the Deficit Reduction Act?
Yeah, I think that if a benefit had been cut based on an act that was unconstitutional, that the state would owe you the money for that cut.
And in terms of the length of a lawsuit like this, it's a question of the Constitution. Does that speed up the process in any way? In the terms of the decision making on who's right and who's wrong?
Only if the judge chooses to. We have a status conference at the end of the month where we're going to set a schedule, and hopefully it'll be quite a quick schedule, so we can get this resolved. However, we have to start in the district court, the federal district court, which is the trial level, and I imagine that whichever side loses will want to appeal. On appeal, there is in the D.C. Court of Appeals, the District of Columbia Circuit Court of Appeals, there is a way to get expedition, and I know we would certainly ask that this case be on an expedited fast track.
Very good. Allison, where can people find out more about this lawsuit?
On our website, www.citizen.org/litigation.
Very good. Allison Zeev, attorney with the Public Citizen Litigation Group. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Nice to be here.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. We're taking a break. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me.
What's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard. Look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70. From 79 all the way to Mid Rivers Mall, there's an accident that's been cleared, but traffic's still jammed all the way back to Bryan Road. Northbound 55 at Weber, there's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic still jams at Rivas Barracks. Westbound 44 from Bowles to Lewis, look for paving operations having two right lanes and closed, and traffic is slow through the work zone. Eastbound 44 from Antire to 141, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 is backed up on either side of 44, eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Laclede Station, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound 170 between Forest Park Parkway and Ladue, look for an object in the roadway believed to be some lumber. It's in the center lane, so use caution as you roll up that area. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic there. West Martin Luther King Bridge at Laclede's Landing, everything is on the move. And northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge, look for traffic to be building this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. A chance for showers with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 48 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 48 as well under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6666 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV, the puppy?
Here, Fido.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Give us a call. We'll listen.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday, right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
You knew her as the brave little girl stricken with cancer and inspired by an idea.
Alex is Amazing was started by a kid. The kid was Alex. She was my sister.
Before illness claimed her life, Alex's lemonade stand raised nearly $1 million for childhood cancer. Now her brothers have carried on with new goals in sight.
The reason it's important to reach their goal is because it was set by Alex right before she died.
Help Alex's dream live on. Visit alexlemonade.org and help beat childhood cancer one cup at a time.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Four five four oh four hundred is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU, and that's something. Yet another thing that George W. Bush is doing that says who he is. That he's clear. What's the word? Crystal. On who he is and what he stands for. His policies, his practices is... Look. Oh, no. Let me do it this way. And I want to be fair to Boy George. I truly do. I want to be fair to him. This reminds me of one of my favorite movies. A movie with Denzel Washington, Devil in a Blue Dress. Denzel Washington, awesome movie. Written by Walter Mosley, awesome writer. My favorite character, the breakout role, Mouse. And the character Mouse, so this is what George W. Bush reminds you of. Mouse is a thug. Mouse is a thief. Mouse is this little guy that to some people seems very likable. And it's clear he's a thug and a thief and a lawless man. And one scene in the movie, Denzel Washington is in a bit of a pickle. He's fighting some folks, and he tells Mouse that this one character has done something bad. He's murdered a friend of theirs. Okay? And Denzel Washington leaves this man who has murdered a friend of, or set a friend of theirs up to be murdered. With Mouse, Denzel has to go back and fight the guys in another place. And he says, Mouse, watch him. I'll be back. Watch him. And when Denzel Washington gets back, he asks for the character, where is he? And he looks at the character, and Mouse looks away, and Denzel looks at the character, and he's dead. He said, Mouse, I told you to watch him, not to kill him. And Mouse said, and this is George W. Bush, isn't it? You know who I am. If you didn't want him dead, you shouldn't have left him with me. You know who I am, and you know what I do. George W. Bush is the same thing. You know who I am. I stole my way into this election. What do you expect I'm going to do anything? How do you expect I'm going to do anything other than that? I lied my way out of going to war. I have a substance abuse problem. I'm attention deficited. So So you know how I am. Why you expect me to act any different? You know how I am. And that's why you have to, people like that, people like Mouse, people like George W. Bush, you know, you have to treat them a certain way. Some people, George Bush is a likable. He's, to other people, just a thug. The bottom line is both parties agree that there's the thug piece, likable or not. And we, as the grown-ups in relationship, have to respond in a grown-up fashion when people cannot conform their behavior. Because that's what the confession of Mouse is. I cannot conform my behavior to the rules and practices of laws. I don't roll like that. Sound familiar? That sound like George W. Bush? I cannot conform my behavior to the rules and the regulations and the law. Can't do that. That's not who I am. And it's a hard job to say, I get it, it's not who you are. That's why we're going to punish you. We know you can't help it, but we can. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 454-0400. See, cinema is a very good teaching tool, is it not? That's why I love the movies. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Flew like a butterfly, I sting like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. A cousin, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest
man alive. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Lima. National elections took place in Peru with 20 candidates running for the president. The leading contender, Ollanta Humala, a nationalist who has promised to provide more financial help for the poor. None of the 20 will likely get the 50% margin needed for victory during the first round. There's also voting for two vice presidents and 12 members of Congress. The outgoing president, Alejandro Toledo, has had his approval rating drop significantly. Because even though the country has grown economically, over half the people in Peru still live in poverty. Whatever the outcome may be, it will not be good news for the United States. Latin American countries are doing a slow burn over a seeming lack of American interest in helping its southern neighbors, except when it's in its own interest. The United States has been responsible for the overthrow or undermining of some 40 Latin American countries since 1900. New leaders have already been elected this year in Bolivia and Chile, and they have promised to take a harder line against American imperialism. And Dateline Rochester. A study conducted by the Mayo Clinic indicates that women who have their ovaries removed could be at a higher risk to develop dementia. It's believed that the risk is posed due to the loss of production of estrogen, which might prevent premature aging. Young women have a much higher risk of developing dementia if they happen to lose their ovary before age 40. Previous studies have also revealed that ovary removal may create a risk for developing Parkinson's disease, as well as cardiovascular and bone disease problems. Those results were presented last week at a meeting of the American Academy of Neurology. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by night, this is not the call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of an earthquake may be impossible to avoid, but you can avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. After an earthquake, salespeople go from door to door in damaged neighborhoods offering cleanup or repair services. While many of these business people are honest and reputable, others are not. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. Get everything in writing. Demand references and check them out. A catastrophe greatly magnifies the opportunity for fraud. Don't be tempted to conspire in an insurance claim. Insurance fraud is a felony. For more tips about avoiding investor fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-B. That's 1-800-TELNICB.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
The information you need to know about, but find any, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 444-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax, huh? Thinking about the Cynthia McKinney story, thinking about the Cynthia McKinney story, about the guard who needed a little something. Homeland Security is so secure that all you have to do to identify yourself as a member of Congress is to have a pin on your lapel. Because that can't be transferred to somebody else, can it? That's just, no, that's really secure, because what, things are fixed for surgically? No, they're put on their lapel. Some dude put his hands on Cynthia McKinney because she didn't have a pin on her? Come on. But I guess it makes sense. I wonder, you know, if they're doing this type of hiring of Barney Fifes as the Army is. The U.S. Army and private contractors employed convicted criminals as security guards across the country despite warnings in the past 3 years of risky situations that could be present. You think? Fort Estes and Fort Story were found to have some training document deficiencies. But here, check this out. Following September 11th, I guess the world starts on September 11th, 2001, the Army began using outside security guards to man the front gates at 57 U.S. installations because of the number of people sent overseas. At one facility, which was unidentified, 61 security guards with criminal records had been hired, including 24 with felonies and one with an outstanding warrant. Homeland Security, right? Now, mind you, this hiring is going on while this multi-trillion dollar entity beast called Homeland Security is constantly being fed with your tax dollars. Huh? The U.S. Army, because of privatization, and because we have so many, I mean, feel this, there are two things going on. The cost of privatization and the cost of this war. The Army doesn't have enough people to guard gates because we're sending so many people over into that sinkhole called Iraq. And two, when we hire private contractors to do the gig, guess what? We end up with people with felons to guard not the Mickey Mart, guard not the whether or not you can get into the swimming pool or not. These are guards in front of our military facilities that have criminal records. So, I wonder what would happen if we check the records of the dude who put his hands on a United States Congresswoman, Cynthia McKinney. Because she didn't have something as secure as a lapel pin. And there are, what, six? How many women are the black women in the Congress? Are there 16? You don't know what their faces look like. I mean, we're the easiest ones to find and to identify. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 4540400 is my phone number. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? Betty Lou.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Well, I need to ask you a question here about this eminent domain thing. Is there a difference between historical properties and other properties when it comes to eminent domain?
Yes. Historic properties that have been deemed historical have been there because there's a process through property yards have to go determined to be historical properties.
Right.
Once they go through that process and are deemed to be historical properties, I know that the rules of eminent domain would not apply to them once they've been deemed that. It's not just the fact that they're 100 years old. It's not just the fact that there is a legal process that they go through.
Well, to get eminent domain.
No, to get historical property status.
Well, do you know that this Montgomery Hyde Park area
mm-hmm.
has been declared eminent domain? And that's why I guess they're just trying to... Well, actually, they've just taken property from people.
You know what? There is something going on in Jefferson City, I believe today and tomorrow, a discussion with the legislators on the issue of eminent domain. That's one of the reasons why there is such so much contention in the, because you're talking about the Third Ward. Right? We're talking about Freeman Bosley Sr.
Right.
That's why there is so much turmoil going on in the Third Ward. That's why there are efforts to recall Freeman Bosley, because eminent domain is being used in such a way that people feel like they're coming and just snatching up your property.
Well, Mr. Bosley told me that they could not demolish this property because it is historic.
But there has
been he went around.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and take it to court, mm-hmm. turn it to the city, you know, mm-hmm. and get it condemned, mm-hmm. and then give it to the developer.
Mm. That's one. Have you signed on the petition to recall him?
Well, I haven't signed because nobody said anything to me about it.
Okay. Well, that's one of the reasons. That's really one of the reasons behind the effort to recall Freeman Bosley Sr. is the eminent domain.
Yeah, well, we all going to court, you know, this month on this eminent domain charge or whatever it is they call it. Well, I don't know anything about it.
Okay, we'll find out more about it, Betty, and maybe we can talk about it on Thursday on Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Your news media is, your news media is bringing you fake news? Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. News report, fake TV news, widespread and undisclosed. We'll be covering that on the Wake Up Call. Of course we will. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that, below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air
to brother. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City Sports.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
We're preparing for 100,000 or more.
She's the organizer of one of today's immigration rallies, Lydia Hernandez, leading the events in Phoenix today. There's also a march in New York and a big one in Washington.
Nearly 200,000 protesters are expected here in Washington. The marchers will rally around the Washington Monument against a bill that passed the House in December. It would create penalties for illegal aliens and build a 700-mile fence along the U.S.-Mexican border. Simultaneous protests are planned in 64 other cities. Organizers are calling the rallies the largest immigrant mobilization in history. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
President Bush talks about the war on terror today. Critics say the speech will be an attempt to prop sagging poll numbers. The latest ABC News Washington Post survey gives him an all-time low of 38%. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
At either end of the spectrum in this new poll, President Bush has a solid core of 20% strongly approving of his work, but 47% strongly disapproving. A significant difference from the start of his second term when those categories were equally balanced.
The survey of just over 1,000 people has a 3-point margin of error. The polls open about a half an hour from now in New Orleans, give or take a few minutes, in that city's municipal election since Hurricane Katrina. The lines may not be that long, though many people cast absentee ballots. They're temporarily living somewhere else. If you filled your car, you know the price of gas is up. The Lundberg survey says about 17 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks. Analyst Trilby Lundberg says there's more where that came from.
Very short term, there could be some further price pressure on gasoline if crude oil prices don't drop.
That means a gallon now will cost you about $2.67 nationwide. Playing Mickey Mouse is no Mickey Mouse job at Hong Kong Disneyland. The Performers Union says more than 30 people have been injured while wearing the heavy costumes. Disney is the parent company of ABC. This is ABC News.
This past summer, my husband got me to try golfing.
And what do you know?
I needed a pain reliever for my sore shoulders. Then I convinced him that we should get a dog. That's when I got a headache medicine, too. For different pain, I had different pain relievers. But now I'm all Advil. Advil's my every pain reliever. Wherever I hurt, Advil works. Enough.
Experts say that lack of awareness can have serious health consequences, with obesity linked to such ailments as high blood pressure and arthritis. 33% of adult American women are classified as obese, according to the latest survey by the Centers for Disease Control. 31% of adult men fit the definition of obese. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Ah!
Here's another WGNU News report. This update is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. President Bush will have Medicare on his mind when he visits Missouri this week. The president is planning to stop at a senior living center in Jefferson City tomorrow to discuss the Medicare prescription drug plan. Today, Vice President Dick Cheney will be in Springfield, Missouri for a fundraiser for Senator Jim Talent. In other news, the St. Louis Diocese is stepping into the fight over immigration. Edgar Ramirez, a spokesperson for the Archdiocese Hispanic Ministry, says the Archdiocese was among the groups that took part in a major immigration rally yesterday to help spread the word about the need for reforms in the country's immigration policies. Ramirez says among the desired reforms are the opportunity for hardworking immigrants to become permanent citizens and the reduction of the waiting period for legal immigrants to bring their family members to the U.S. Protesters want attorney Charles Moss to be charged as an accomplice to murder in the execution of Marlon Gray. Members of the Organization for Black Struggle and the ACLU gathered outside the law office of Nels Moss Friday to demonstrate against what they call his unethical and lawless antics as the prosecutor during the Chain of Rocks Bridge murder case in which Gray, Reginald Clemens, and Antonio Richardson were convicted. The protesters claim Moss suppressed information in order to convict three innocent men. Gray was executed last fall, and Clemens is awaiting an execution date. Moss declined comment. And finally, the Metropolitan Sewer District is working to protect people's homes from flooding during spring storms. Jeff Thierman, the executive director of MSD, says, unfortunately, sometimes there's so much water, it can't all fit into the sewer systems, and sometimes it then overflows into the lowest spot possible, often people's basements. Thierman says if people see backed up sewers, they should call MSD to clear the openings. He says if your basement does flood and you think it might be caused by a sewer backup, MSD will send out a crew to inspect the damage. The number for the department is 314-768-6260. That's WGNU News, brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through April, purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 from 79 to Mid Rivers Mall. An accident has been cleared, but traffic still jammed at Bryan Road. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Revis Parish. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 44 from Lewis Road. Look for all roadways reopened after weekend construction traffic. Thin now. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270 looks like slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44. You've got stop and go traffic as well. Westbound 270 at West Florissant looks for slow traffic there. And eastbound 40 from 270 to Hanley look for stop and go traffic in pockets. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Hanley, it is stop and go as well. Westbound 557 Poplar Street Bridge look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got slow traffic. And westbound King traffic at Laclede's Landing, look for no problems to report. Illinois Route 3 northbound from 8th Street onto the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic on those approaches. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Also, Louisiana at Itasca, look for an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to play with four new pick-and-play games from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. The Illinois Lottery. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-70s. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers, a low in the upper 50s. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, another chance for showers with today, high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 48 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clear skies and 49. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown, the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is in the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to all. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And don't forget, we are streamed on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net. Also, the shows are archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also, the show is iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org as well. My site is LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. We're being spied upon. We are. There are laws that are going into place, like the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, that are in direct violation of the United States Congress, and they knew about it. George W. knew about it. We are being told things about Iran and Iraq that are not true. We are being leaked information. That may or may not be true. My goodness gracious. What's next? Fake news? Well, we need to talk about that because apparently it is next. Apparently there is fake news out there, as if the real news is not bad enough. And as if the real news doesn't come to us tortured enough, as if the real news does not come to us at all, we are being given fake news. We're going to talk about that this morning with a senior researcher with the Center for Media and Democracy, Diane Farsetta. She's joining us from Madison, Wisconsin. Diane, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Fake news.
It is. It's everywhere. We have a report that we call Fake TV News Widespread and Undisclosed.
And Diane, let me stop you just for a second because
sure.
We have a lot of static on your line. I'm going to put you back on hold and let Howard try to clean that up for a second, okay?
Okay.
All right. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm certain that the issue of fake news does not come as a surprise, or that this government would engage in fake news doesn't come as a surprise to many of you, but I think that you will be startled to know how widespread this is. If you want to get in on this conversation, you can call us up at 1-877-920-WGNU. Diane, are you back?
I am back, yes.
Much better, much better.
Great.
I was saying while you were off the, while we were straightening out your phone line, that many people, particularly people that listen to this show, would not be surprised to find out that our government is attempting to, or someone is attempting to give us fake news, but I think people might be surprised with how widespread it is.
That's right. And actually, so when we say fake TV news, what we mean is these segments. They look exactly like real news reports, but they're actually funded and scripted by some entity that's not being disclosed to viewers. In the report that we put out just last week, we found corporations overwhelmingly supporting these segments, although there has been, you know, similar concerns about government-funded fake news.
And so walk us through what a fake news piece is, particularly from a corporation. What would we see if we're looking at our news, our nightly news, what would we see? And would we be able to recognize it as fake news?
Well, this is the problem, first of all, is that there's no disclosure and there's no way to tell because there's corporate-funded fake news, but then there's also just unfunded bad news. It's impossible to tell without disclosure, and that's the main thing we're pushing for.
How did you all find out it was fake? If we can't look at it and tell, how did your study fake TV news widespread and undisclosed? How did you figure it out?
Well, what we were able to do, the Center for Media and Democracy, where I work, is a public relations industry watchdog. And these fake TV news reports are called video news releases, or VNRs. They're put out by public relations firms. So what we were able to do is to get access to some of these VNRs that were being put out and to compare those to what's being broadcast on local TV news. And actually, one of the 77 different stations that we found across the U.S. is right there in St. Louis, KTVI2. And that aired two of the different fake news reports that we were able to track.
And that we were told, what would media tell us about, what would a Channel 2 tell us about the use of these VNRs? Would they say that they're being used, or would they say that it's just a tempest in a teapot?
Well, that's a good question. We haven't had a response from them, from that station. But, you know, a lot of TV stations, what they say is that there's no problem, that, you know, there is some sort of editorial process where they check things. But, you know, what we were able to find, and this was true of KTVI, is that oftentimes this entire prepackaged report would be put right on air. There were some segments that we looked at where there were actually false claims being made, where the reporters obviously hadn't even done the before they put it on the air. So, from everything we're able to tell, it's a really big problem, but often TV newsrooms, they have so little resources and so much news programming that they're expected to fill that this is one way that they do that.
So that's the reason why they use these VNRs, because they aren't doing their own stuff and they can't?
That's pretty much it, is that, there's less and less resources being put into news. At the same time, there's more and more news programming being added, and especially with television, you see this. So you see increased use of these guided, and oftentimes sponsored segments from everything from pharmaceutical companies to candy companies to Capital One Bank to, all over the place.
Well, walk us through one that you found that was particularly problematic. What was the worst one that you saw? And tell us what it said and what it was about.
Let's see. The worst one, well, I would say perhaps the worst one was one that came out from a pharmaceutical company, and this was a prescription skin cream, a new prescription skin cream. And according to the Food and Drug Administration, whenever you promote a product that's prescription strength, you need to include risk information. So Full Laboratories, which was the pharmaceutical company, put out a VNR, a fake TV news report, about its new prescription skin cream. The original VNR included a lot of risk information, but there were three different television stations that aired this segment, all risk information. So basically what you had in the aired report was something that was much more promotional and much less balanced even than a TV ad would be.
Who asked them to remove it?
Well, basically that's what the TV newsroom did. I mean, that was their quote-unquote Twitter to remove it. And the Drug Administration doesn't have the ability to tell TV newsrooms that, yes, you must keep that information in. So what we saw in that case was an even worse aired report than the original VNR.
Where does a pharmaceutical company expect that the VNR is going to be played? Are they looking for their VNRs to be played on the nightly news like it is news?
Oh, yeah. That's the goal with any video news release. I mean, this is a whole industry. There's something like 50 different public relations firms that specialize in it. And what they do is they engineer them, they produce them, they script them so that they look exactly like a TV news report, but there is a promotional angle, something that promotes a product or promotes a policy that's beneficial to the company that's funding it. And then what they do, they make, in some cases, hundreds of follow-up pitch calls to these TV newsrooms saying, are you going to use our report on our prescription skin cream? Which is, great, this is your viewers will love it. It's a whole industry around this.
So they use reporters? They talk in the reporter type of tone and timbre and rhythm, and they give it the real news feel.
That's right. And a lot of times the people that are working at these public relations firms are former reporters, or sometimes they're just publicists that are playing reporters. And then basically by doing this, by using these fake TV news reports, companies are able to infiltrate your local news. And this is a source of information that generally is considered to be authoritative, that you wouldn't suspect that there's something that's little better than an advertisement on your local TV news.
It's a highly produced, specifically news-produced ad.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's very high production value. And it's funny, if you look over time at this industry that makes the video news releases, the fake TV news, they started in the 1980s, and when they first started out, it was wildly promotional. It was even worse than an ad, and they found that, well, if it's too promotional, it won't get played. So they learned over time to sort of turn down, but of course keep in that promotional aspect.
Has there been anything that has occurred in our, as a result of any laws being passed or laws that have been done away with, that has allowed VNRs to flourish recently? Or
right now we're at a place, basically the sort of the entity that would regulate, that would look, would be the Federal Communications Commission. And when the Center for Media and Democracy, my organization, worked with Free Press, which is a media reform group, actually, to when we released this report, to meet with a commissioner from the FCC and to talk about the findings, to present them to him, as Commissioner Adelstein, he takes this issue very seriously. And so he's going to bring our findings to the full FCC. They're going to be investigating it. There are disclosure rules. They're not totally defined. So the first thing that they're going to do is to see, have those rules been broken? And then the second step is, well, should we strengthen the rules? And we would say yes. They definitely need to be strengthened.
In terms of how widespread this is, how would your organization describe it? Is it from coast to coast?
It is pretty much from coast to coast, and you can go to our website, piotr.org. We actually have a map of all the TV stations we found, but there were 77 different TV stations that we found, including stations in the top markets, you know, the largest, New York City, Chicago, you know, Los Angeles, Philadelphia. We found stations in all those markets and more that were using these TV news segments.
Do we have any political aspect to any of these VNRs, or is it solely for the promotion of things or products?
That's what we, the latter, was the company-funded segments promoting products or promoting the company's image. What we found, we didn't set out just to focus that. You know, we actually really wanted to find a government video news release, but we just didn't see any of those being used.
Mm.
So that's it looks like over the past few years, because there's been significant attention, you know, negative attention being paid to the government-funded segment, that it looks like TV stations might be shying off of those now.
And running into the hands of pharmaceutical and toy manufacturers.
That's right.
1-877-9-WGNU. Barry, you have a question for our guest, Diane Farsetta.
Thank you. So this is a little different from the TV station. I follow pharmaceutical news somewhat, and I see blurbs from the Wall Street Journal. And I know it's not a TV commercial, and I came in on your segment about 2 or 3 minutes ago. But I'm just wondering if your guest has ever looked into the print media sources and how they present these kind of things. I always think of the Wall Street Journal as being pretty prestigious, and maybe they would check their facts or present something balanced, but it seems like a lot of times they're just doing advertisements for the pharmaceutical companies.
Thanks for your call and observation, Barry. Diane, is there a VNR component or a VNR for print and radio?
Well, for radio, there definitely is called an audio news release, and it's got similar problems as video news releases do. Of course, for print, there is a press release, but we actually see that as being different. I mean, basically, with the audio video release for radio or this release for TV, you know, you're not giving a reporter a heads up. You're giving them a finished product. You know, so it would be like if a print reporter were to copy and paste an entire print press release, which we would say is also, you know, would be pretty bad journalism. But, you know, the Center for Media and Democracy is a general public relations industry watchdog, so we do look at these organized campaigns to affect media coverage where, you know, no matter what outlet we're talking about, if it's print or radio or TV.
Do the VNR people, do they have lobbyists? Are they down there pushing any of their issues in Congress, or do they have any coordinated issues that they are trying to use to gain legitimacy and to be able to stay?
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been very coordinated in acting against and lobbying against any further regulations, you know, and it's funny, we had a number of different firms contact us after the report came out, but this is, you know, this is an ongoing thing. This is you go back 15 years ago, and you had TV Guide, no less, run a page story called Fake TV News. Mm-hmm. And TV Guide, for what we're calling for today, is the continuous on-screen disclosure, you know, footage provided by Capital one bank, footage provided by Panic, you know, whatever entity funded the segment that's being aired.
And obviously their concern about having a disclaimer on these reports is that people won't take them seriously.
That people won't take them seriously, but even more for the VNR industry, they're afraid that TV newsrooms then won't use them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there goes their business down the toilet. But, you know, we think it's very important to honor the viewer's right to know where the information is coming from.
But interestingly enough, the people that should be the most concerned about the explosion of using these should be the television industry, but they're not raising a stink about it.
Well, they're not, and there's actually one of the associations that gets singled out in our report when we're discussing sort of the policy angle of this is called the Radio Television News Directors Association, and this is a professional group that has been, along with the VNR industry, that has been lobbying against any increased disclosure. So it seems to me
that would. No one would be willing to do it in the industry because that seems like a suicidal act. You're asking for the ability to be able to put a commercial out as news. What news station would want to advocate for that?
That's right. Well, yeah, and I mean, but there has been a study, at least one survey that's been done, asking just individuals, just people who watch TV news to say, you know, if there was this label across the bottom, footage provided by, you know, and then the company or the government agency or whoever funded that segment, you know, would you be more likely or less likely to watch that TV news program? And the result was overwhelmingly that they would be more likely to watch it because they would trust them. More, you know, if there was that level of transparency.
Did that strike you as odd, Diane? Did the result of that strike you as a little odd?
I don't, you know, the whole thing is kind of odd, but you know, to be honest, but as, you know, as a media watchdog group, we just say, look, you know, you do have to let viewers know when you put these things on the air.
Wow. People would say you're more trustworthy because you put it down there as opposed to playing these things at all.
Well,
wow.
I mean, but the thing is, everybody does play them. I mean, there have been multiple studies. I mean, our study looked at just, we estimate to be about 1% mm-hmm. of these fake TV news segments that went out over the 10 months we were doing our investigation. You know, we found 77 stations. But there have been studies done by Nielsen Media, for example, that have found in multiple years that 100% of the TV news newsrooms that they surveyed use video news releases.
Is this in correlation with the corporate ownerships of news stations and television stations? Is this a reason why 100% are using them, since we've reduced ourselves down into a few media owners?
Well, there's definitely an indication that there is, you know, the consolidation of the media is playing a role in this. You know, we found that there were a much higher percentage of conglomerates among the TV stations that we caught airing these fake news reports than among the general population of TV stations. So mm-hmm. it does look like, you know, tentatively we're saying, yeah, it looks like conglomeration does increase the likelihood that a station will use these.
And, Diane, where can people get a copy or see some of these fake news stories?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go to our website, which is www.prwatch.org. And there we have, it's a multimedia report, so you actually not just read about them, but you can watch video from the original, you know, video news release that the public relations firm put out, and then look at and see how the TV broadcasts, your local KTVI2, how they aired these as a part of their local news programs.
Very good. Diane Farsetta, senior researcher with the Center for Media and Democracy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. Stay with me.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands pick me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she'd say. Matty, don't you whip that boy.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works, the home show special. Eastbound 40 between Hampton and Kings Highway, look for a disabled vehicle. Center lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way into 270, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44, stop and go. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 70K to 79, slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 from Union to Carondelet, very heavy volume going on as well. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic in pockets. Westbound 40, Clayton Skinker to Hanley, you've got stop-and-go traffic. Southbound 170 at Brentwood and 40, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street under the PSB, look for slow traffic. And Natural Bridge at Grand, those lights are not working, they're on red flash. Northbound Kings Highway between Oakland and Manchester, look for heavy volume going on there as well. That is a look at hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Granite Works Home Show Special. Granite Works is having a huge spring special. Some of the most unique granite you'll ever see, starting at $38 a square foot. Mention the spring sale and get $100 off. Call 862-6300 Granite Works. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high in the lower 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. A chance for showers with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 48 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 50 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Phil Wilson.
And, of course, I'm George Cotton Sr.
Listen to The Real Deal with George and Phil every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. for controversial and thought-provoking radio.
That's right. In addition to national advice on law and health, you can also expect some of the most ridiculous comments heard anywhere on radio.
Yeah, and you say most of them.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple times or two.
The Real Deal with George and Phil. Tune us in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on WGNU.
Tickets are now on sale for the Queenie Park Adults Only Egg Hunt on Friday and Saturday. Tickets are $10 per person and participants must be at least 21 years of age. Over 25,000 eggs will be hidden in over 250 acres of the park each night. Tickets are available by mail only. Order forms are available on the web at stlewisco.com/parks or by calling 636-391-0922 extension 10. Something for Easter from Radio Free St. Louis.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail C open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry into how they're being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A review of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dahlia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown, award-winning Wake Up Call.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I've got to on the road to travel and a rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop, and my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. I want to share with you, in light of our remarkable, amazing, powerful, life-altering, y'all need to just be shaking your tail feathers on this one, when last Tuesday. We changed the world on last Tuesday. They took over the school board, took it out of the control of privatization, out of the control of incompetence. We took the trash out last Tuesday. Yes, we did. In light of that, we have to just steel ourselves and know what we can do and remind ourselves of what we should be doing. George W. Bush is going to be in town tomorrow. Tomorrow. And when I say in town, I mean Jefferson City. Why is he going to Jefferson City? Apparently to shake hands with Rodney Hubbard and Ted Hoskin. Because he's going to shake hands with them and thank them for pushing the voucher bill. And then he's going to try to strong arm walk into Republicans from outstate that say, no, we don't want any stinking voucher program. It's no good. Ain't that amazing? Rodney Hubbard and Ted Hoskins, the chair of the Black Caucus, is going to be shaking the hand of George W. Bush, giving him a big thumbs up, say, you go, boy. Because George W. Bush is so proud of Ted Hoskins. How do you like that on your resume? He's proud of Ted Hoskins and his support of advocation for, ain't taking money like a big guy, like a big boy. On behalf of the voucher people. Go, Ted, go, says boy George, huh? Huh. Ted Hoskins and Rodney Hubbard are standing next to them. That is a 36% approval rating. And they're saying, we're with George. Ain't that some stuff? We got a lot of stuff to do in the state of Missouri. We have a lot of stuff to do. And this takes me to my column by Molly Ivins, Enough of the D.C. Dems. My fellow progressives, now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of the party. I don't know about you, but I've had it with the D.C. Democrats. I've had it with the DLC Democrats. I've had it with every calculating, equivocating, triangulating, straddling, hair-spilling son of a gun up there, and that includes Hillary Rodham Clinton. Show you right. Show you right. And need to add Ted Hoskins, chairman of the Black Caucus, name to that. Ain't that some stuff? He's a Democrat. And he carrying the water for George W. Bush. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? Alfred.
Yeah, that's the same way I feel about that Congress lady that insulted that guard that asked her for her proper identification, and she said that you should know who I am.
Well, let's walk through
okay.
this. Let's walk through this, Alfred.
Yeah.
Let's walk through this.
Sure.
The guard is part of Homeland Security, right?
Yes.
And the guard is trained to watch the backs of our elected officials. His job is to watch over and to keep them safe.
Right.
So shouldn't we as American citizens that are paying the trillions of dollars to operate Homeland Security be raising the question of, huh? Why would a guard say that your a pin on your label is an identification as opposed to your face?
Wait,
I'm not finished yet.
Okay.
Why is part of the training of a guard to recognize 1 out of 12 faces? There are only maybe 16 black women Congress people. There are none in the Senate, so we didn't even have to trip on the Senate. There's only one black person in the Senate. So why shouldn't the discussion be, why didn't the guard know who she was?
Let me talk now. First of all, they hired that guard. They trained that guard.
Apparently not.
Wait. They told that guard, look, they're supposed to have a pin and this identification. If they don't have that, don't let them pass this door. Second of all, what you going to have? Wait. Here's a.
I could put on a pin.
Wait. They were supposed to have a pin for other sections.
I could put on a pin, Alfred.
Well, that particular pin. Now, wait. Let me
I could put that pin on.
Huh?
I could put that pin on. You could put that pin on. How would that identify you? Your face identifies you.
No, wait. Let me ask you. Some Irishman would say, hey, I'm an Irishman, 38 years old. There are only 5 of us in this building.
Well, there's
so
not. First of all,
wait a minute.
Let's be factual, Alfred, if we're going to make that comparison. There are a whole heck of a lot more men of Irish descent than 5 people.
But wait a minute. You should know that.
Absolutely. That's what I'm paying you for. I'm paying you to know who the United States Congress people are and the United States senators are. And if you don't know that, then there's a problem with security. If you're saying that a pin identifies you before a face does, there's a problem with Homeland Security.
I can get a plastic surgery and get your face.
No, you
I'm
couldn't.
Saying you have to
no,
have
you
the
couldn't.
Right identification.
No, you couldn't. Alfred, don't go crazy on me. No, you can't.
Wait.
No, you can't. No, you can't get plastic surgery and look like me. That's an exaggeration. That is taking you out of reality in order to have this discussion with me. No, you can't. The face is a bit, because if you're saying that my human face is not as good of an identifier as a portable pen, that's madness. That my human face is not a good as identifier as a badge on me, that's madness. You are making excuses for people in security. If you are really concerned about security, your answer would be, okay, maybe she shouldn't have said that to him. He sure should have known her face. He sure should have known her face because that's his job. That is his job, to know the face. Because it would have been a far cry if he had said, yeah, I recognize your face. I still wanted her pin. He didn't say that. Didn't say that. You can't get plastic surgery. Yes, you can get plastic surgery to look like me. You can't. My stuff. It's my stuff. Don't go crazy on me to make an argument. That's what Bush does. Don't do that. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
Barry, good morning.
And how are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you, Barry?
Fantastic. Well, first off, I called to tell you congratulations on Peter Downs and Donna Jones.
Woohoo!
Fantastic.
Yes, it is.
You did
yes,
an outstanding
it is.
Job. And the listeners.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
But the reason why I did call you is about George W. coming to town.
Isn't that something?
Well, you know what else he's coming to town for, too? He's going to tell the seniors when he goes to this retirement home up there in Jefferson City.
That it's all good.
That it's all good.
It's all in the head.
Medicare Part D program. Tough luck. Because here's the thing. A couple weeks ago was on the news on your station. There was a lady that was having problems, you know, as far as trying to figure that program out for her mom. And she was asking for an extension on it. He said, well, you're just going to have to figure it out. You know, and you're going to have to help her. And more or less, if she don't sign up by May 15th...
It's done.
She going to be penalized 1% per month.
Isn't that outrageous?
It's working.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, Liz. Have a great day.
You too. We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Shall get them that's not shall lose. So I will say, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dayton, Washington. That official from the Department of Homeland Security who was arrested last week for trying to line up a minor for sex using the internet had been in trouble over sex charges at the place he used to work also. 55-year-old Brian Doyle was deputy press secretary for Homeland Security and had clearance to access top secret material. His former place of employment was Tegazine, and between 1999 and 2001, it was discovered that he downloaded pornography on company computers and he was facing disciplinary action, but then chose to take an early retirement settlement. Homeland Security officials say that his previous action would not necessarily have prevented him from getting the Homeland Security job, because security clearance only asks about alcohol or drug use and criminal medical histories, although applicants do have to take a lie detector test. And Dateline London. The Sunday Times reported this weekend that two men who worked at the Niger embassy in Rome were the ones who forged a set of documents that were relied upon heavily by President Bush for his reason to invade Iraq. Those documents were to in a State Department memo on Iraq's weapons program that was used to make the for starting the conflict. That phony contract indicated that Saddam Hussein had made a purchase of yellow cake ore from the poor West African country so it could build a weapon of mass destruction. Those documents were condemned as fake by International Atomic Energy just before the 2000 invasion took place. Western intelligence agencies had no evidence that the purchase had ever taken place. The consul for Niger and the personal assistant to the ambassador have admitted creating the documents for an undisclosed amount of money. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time.
It's tax time. Where are you going to go to get them done? Only one place. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282. Why? Because he's honest. Because they're dependable. Because they're respectful. And because they have a check cashing place right there. You can cash your check right there at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. He's been there before the other guys got here, and he'll be here after they leave. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry of their being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears they've now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A review of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dahlia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Doesn't that make you want to dance? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Enough of the D.C. Democrats. I love this line by Molly Ivins. I love this line about from Molly Ivins. Bush, Cheney, and company will continue to play the patriotic bully card just as long as you let them. I've said it before. War brings out the patriotic bullies. In World War I, they went around kicking dachshunds on the ground, claiming that dachshunds were German dogs. They did not, however, go around kicking German shepherds. Show you right. Oh yeah, they kicked the wiener dogs, but they didn't put their boot in the mouth of a German shepherd. No, they didn't. Patriotic bullies. They'll kick the wiener dogs, but they won't kick the shepherds. Who the wiener dogs? The Democrats. The Democrats. The minute someone, Molly Ivins goes on to say, the minute someone impugns your patriotism for opposing this war, turn on them like a snarling dog and explain what loving your country really means. Show you right. Show you right. The weakness is breathtaking. Since they turned on Cynthia McKinney, had more guts than Nancy Pelosi ever has had. More guts than any man, woman, and or child in the United States Senate had. She stood up to them. She said, and lost her job as a result of saying, we need to investigate this crazy man sitting up here in the White House. We need to investigate him. What happened to her? She lost her gig. She lost her gig. But then she went and got it back. How many of you have those kinds of guts? Have that kind of intestinal fortitude? Are that fearless? Are that certain of what you're doing and why you need to do it? And instead of circling around someone like a Cynthia McKinney, instead of putting their arms around the Cynthia McKinney, a woman who was the first person in the history of the United States Congress, was called the B word by a congressman on the floor of Congress, and he didn't even apologize for it. You hear what I'm saying? This is a fearless woman, and Congress, her fellow Democrats, the Nancy Pelosi's out there, haven't given her her seniority back, and are attacking her in a ways that they didn't go after Bush. How'd that feel? How'd that feel? Dwight.
Yeah, I was just listening to you talk about Cynthia McKinney and her guts, and a lot of people don't realize how gutsy she really was when it came to investigating him and thinking that he was crazy when he was starting the war in Iraq.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
And a lot of people don't even realize that a lot of Jewish groups went up against her.
Went after her. They went after her because she stood up for the Palestinian people.
And you talking about backbone?
Huh.
She got more backbone than the whole black caucus.
Huh. And what is the... Remember when I had the chairman of the Black Caucus on my show? And he talked that weak smack about, well, we as an organization don't have an opinion on the bankruptcy bill.
But you know what?
They had an opinion on Cynthia McKinney, didn't they?
That's right, but it shows top how weak a lot of our black senators, congressmen are up there that can't even stand with a strong black woman tough enough to be up in there.
That's what I'm talking about.
And get her job back.
That's what I'm talking about.
She didn't just sit back.
No,
say,
she didn't.
Oh, yeah,
no,
woe
she
is
didn't.
Me. She
no,
went
she
back
didn't.
Her job back.
She said, this mine, I'm coming to get it, and she did.
Even when they tried to redistrict down
absolutely.
There to get her out of there.
She went and got it. She went and got her job. Thanks, Dwight.
All right, thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Charles Quincy Trope.
Good morning, ma'am.
Quickly, please, sir.
Well, it was also Barbara Lee and Hilliard down in Alabama that they also, the Jewish lobby, also defeated
fact.
That stood up for black.
Fact.
So everybody that stood up for black people, or was black women, none of the black men stood up outside of Hilliard and a couple more.
And I got to roll for
okay.
That's got to be the last word. Thank you so much. I'll be back with Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU.
Usually from Andrea Aldinger, this could be one of the most emotional, most divisive issues in the nation, immigration.
I believe that a border wall needs to be put up. You can't marry a wall. You can't bribe a wall. You can't shoot a wall.
Every wave of immigrants, they have come, even those that were forced into this country, are giving a lot to America.
Two women, one on each side of the debate, and you'll hear more today.
At least 300 are planned in 30 states across the country. Sunday offered a sneak preview with massive rallies taking place from St. Louis to Salt Lake City to San Diego, all aimed at encouraging the U.S. Senate to pass its bipartisan immigration reform bill that fell apart on Friday, a bill that would allow nearly 11 million undocumented workers to become U.S. citizens.
ABC's Claire Shipman at the site of one of the rallies, Washington. President Bush won't be far from where the rally will be held. He'll give a speech today in Washington about the war on terror, which could be an attempt to boost his sagging poll numbers. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
It's a career low. 38% of the Americans polled approve of the job President Bush is doing. 60% do not like it. And in a trend that has been evident for more than a full year now, 58% tell ABC News the war in Iraq was not worth fighting. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
A poll of just over 1,000 adults has a 3-point margin of error. Is the U.S. about to invade Iran? Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Seymour Hersh thinks so.
This is one argument I've heard. We will hit
hard one day and tell the leadership if they do anything to respond, it's lights out.
The White House insists the U.S. is taking a diplomatic approach. The polls are open in New Orleans for the first municipal election since Hurricane Katrina. The lines may not be too long, though. A lot of people cast absentee ballots because they are living somewhere else, at least temporarily. Checking the ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 9 points and NASDAQ is off by five. This is ABC News.
This past summer, my husband got me to try golfing.
And what do you know?
I needed a pain reliever for my sore shoulders. Then I convinced him that we should get a dog. That's when I got a headache medicine, too. For different pains, I had different pain relievers. But now I'm all Advil. Advil's my every pain reliever. Wherever I hurt, Advil works. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest-growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
A study conducted for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation finds 3 out of every 10 American high schoolers won't graduate. Study's author Nathan Thornborough says it's just not relevant to many of them.
When a kid at 14 decides, for better or worse, they are not going to go to university, they look at the rest of high school and say, this is irrelevant to me.
The numbers are even worse for minorities. Nearly half of all African American and Hispanic students drop out. Now, this is some delivery service.
A special dish has been added to the usual whale, walrus, reindeer, and berries eaten at Alaska's Yupik Eskimo Village. It's flown from Nome, 170 miles away. Not an impossible delivery area for Airport Pizza, Nome's first and only pizza service. It's across via Eisner of Washington State. There's a $10 minimum. Prices range from around $16 to about $32. The pizza's to the Yupik Village had a $25 delivery charge.
That's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
Right. Husband claims Moss suppressed critical information during the trial to help get the conviction. Moss declined to comment. In other news, Better Than Ezra, Sister Hazel and India Ari will open this year's The Levy concert series. Missy Slay, the executive director of Fair St. Louis, Celebrate St. Louis, says Better Than Ezra and Sister Hazel will play on July 14th, while India Ari will take the stage on July 15th. Live on the Levy will continue on the weekends of July 21st and 28th and August 4th and 11th. Organizers have also announced the music scheduled to play Fair St. Louis. Jason Mraz will play on July 1st, and Hootie and the Blowfish will play on July 4th. And at this hour, one local apartment complex is taking a unique approach to picking its next promotions manager. Billy the owner of the Billion Apartment, says the protege contest will find the perfect person to promote the complex and bring residents together.
And the winner will get a $30,000 a year job and an apartment at the Pavilion and will be responsible for making this place hum.
The 15 finalists have already been selected, and the winner of the contest will be chosen May 4th at the Trainwreck Saloon. The Pavilion Apartments are located at I-270 each. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Accountemps, specializing in aligning your skills and experience with fulfilling temporary financial assignments. Call or visit them at Accountemps.com. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, Lewis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Granite Works Home Show Special. Westbound 70 at Madison, look for an accident reported. Eastbound 40 at 141, there's an object in the roadway believed to be concrete debris in the center lane. Northbound 270 at McKelvey, there's an accident. Two right lanes are blocked. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44 is still slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound 55 from Union and Carondelet, still have heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Hanley is stop and go. Westbound 40 from Clayton Skinker to Hanley, stop and go as well. Northbound Kings Highway at Children's Place, there's a report of the traffic lights not working, so use caution. up around the hospital. Route 141 in Springdale. Traffic signals are on red flash and North 14th at Locust. Look for an accident reported. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has sponsored by Granite Works Home Show. Granite Works is having a huge spring sale. Some of the most unique granite you'll ever see, starting at just $38 a square foot. Mention the spring sale and get $100 off. Call 862-6300. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high in the lower 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-70s. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. A chance for showers with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 49 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clear skies and 51. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's Mondays at 9. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Mondays at 9. We've spent a lot of time on my show talking about the World Bank, the impact on nations out there. Relationships that people and countries have with the World Bank. We've talked about Wolfowitz and his connection with the World Bank. One of the discussions that we have not had an opportunity to engage in is a discussion about corruption within the World Bank, accountability within the World Bank. And we are going to do that this morning. There are grave concerns arising out of an investigative report and corruption at the World Bank. To facilitate the conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., the Director of International Programs for the Government Accountability Project, Melanie Olafiero. Melanie, good morning. Melanie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you very much for the invitation and interest on this subject.
Well, very interested in it, Melanie, because so many people are not.
Yes.
You know,
it's funny about that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's such an important story.
Yeah.
Can we start, just do some basic World Bank 101 stuff? What is the World Bank?
Well, the World Bank is, as it suggests, a kind of banking institution. It is, however, a public institution.
Who knew that? We don't think of it that way.
And that's really the critical issue, is does it run by the rules of the corporate banking sector, or is it a development agency run by the governments of the world? Clearly, the structure is one of government representatives. What happens is the ministers of finance, our treasury, appoint the board member. There is not an equal voting pattern. It's very much based on a formula of who donates the most money to the bank.
So who donates the money to the bank controls what the bank does?
Yes. At least has an overriding voice. And you might guess that the biggest contributor to the World Bank is the United States.
Given the fact of the location of the World Bank.
Well, and it has got almost a 17% share. Of the financing.
Okay. So who are some other members, controlling members of the World Bank?
Well, the large European countries, the UK, France, Germany, and then there are weighted seats, clustered of countries sit.
Are there any African countries that sit on the in any kind of control position in the World Bank?
There's certainly an interesting dynamic. The borrowing countries, if you will, those are the countries who are recipients, presumably beneficiaries, and in many, many cases, the monies are really critical monies. It's just the conditions, I'm sure you've talked in the show on your show in the past, of the odious debt.
Absolutely.
Right? So what you have is a good idea of rich nations helping to stimulate and support poorer nations. But what happens is conditions for absolutely restructuring economies based on some very abstracted macroeconomic policy, which bears very little resemblance to either the capacity or the will of many political countries, political decision-making in countries around the world.
And I guess that's what makes this discussion so interesting and tragically ironic, the criticisms that are at the nations for the reasons why they don't pay their debt back, the corruption accusations and assessments, mismanagement accusations and assessments. But we got that here, don't we?
Well, that's exactly what we at the Government Accountability Project have been focusing our attention on. If you make a claim that you are in the business to stamp out corruption, we are going to be the model anti-corruption leaders for the world, you really ought to have your own house in order.
So how do we know what the status is corruption-wise, payoff-wise, bribery, embezzlement-wise? How do we know what the status is of the World Bank? Was there a report that came out?
Well, you're asking a very, very fundamental question, because if there is not a free and safe channel for information about wrongdoing to be safely reported, you're never going to find out. And what we've been banked for a number of years now is to protect whistleblowers, to put safe mechanisms in place so that when you see wrongdoing, you can safely report it to authorities who will then act and independently investigate claims and then hold accountable those who are found to be doing fraudulent or abusive things with public monies.
And When we talk about the amounts of money that you are concerned, the amounts of money that are involved in the kickbacks, payoffs, bribery, pretty substantial part, an amount of the World Bank's monies, isn't it?
Well, it's hard to do a finite total because the numbers are ephemeral. But I can tell you that not only is it the $1 million that disappear that should have gone to build a school in Kenya, and if you go to the village, you will not find the school, but it's also the way that the numbers have been manipulated or mismanaged inside the institution. Because even as I stress that the monies are largely public monies, the other thing to keep in mind is that the World Bank is also floating bonds for private investors. These are global bonds that get AAA ratings by the rating companies, and private investors purchase these bonds. So there is also that private flow of monies into the bank, which then go to onward lending or even grants projects. But the challenge there is that there's no mechanism of accountability. As an investor in a capital market that's regulated under the rules of the U.S., for example, the Securities and Exchange Commission has very specific regulatory guidelines, external oversight, reporting not only on audited figures, but reporting on management of these funds. And what we've uncovered is that in some cases these bonds get so poorly managed inside the bank that errors in, let's say, amortization, depreciation costs, will end up costing the bank $65 million on one single $2 billion global bond.
Who audits? Who's supposed to audit? Is the World Bank audited?
They have an internal audit unit, which of course is an internal body, does not have the same authority or integrity as an external audit. But they do hire the external audit firms, the big ones that have now consolidated from whatever there was, 10 to 6, and now I think there's 5. But the problem is they don't look at the management and the controls.
And tell us why they need to look at the management.
Oh, it's critical to know that there's no either incompetency or, worse, very deliberate manipulation of figures. One of documents that we have followed very closely, and it was hard, the U.S. News and World Report study that came out last week that perhaps you were referring to, started actually with a set of conversations around financial officers who were watching the way that their accounting of reserves for availability for making loans available to the poorest countries. The World Bank has a HIPIC program for heavily impoverished countries. This calculation was being changed at the highest levels of management. So you would have the financial experts use a very sophisticated and accurate computer system to produce a kind of spreadsheet. And that should have gone directly to the board of directors. But because there wasn't anybody and isn't still anybody looking externally to making sure that that chain of information went to the decision-making body, in between the financial sector and the board, those numbers were changed. Now, they were changed for probably a right reason, which was to show even greater reserves were available so that more money could go to poorer countries. But you still manipulated
the books.
You cooked the books.
You cooked the books. What is the Vaughan Report?
The Vaughan Report is, again, one of those frustrating examples where the bank could have gotten something right and has to date chose to do something very wrong. They commissioned an external expert. His name is Robert Vaughan. He's a 30-some-year professor from the Washington College of Law at American University here in Washington. He is a renowned scholar of whistleblower protection and freedom of information law. He knows how you create these safe channels, how you prevent retaliation, how you hold retaliators accountable, how you do independent investigations. He customized a set of recommendations and reforms for the World Bank. They commissioned the report. He produced the report. That was handed back on April 30th last year. The bank has refused to implement the reforms. The bank has refused to share the report. The bank consulted with its own staff, who I definitely want to showcase as a responsible staff. When we talk about corruption inside an institution, I really want to emphasize that the vast majority of bank staff go there because they believe in the mission of development. They are not the people who go there thinking that, oh, they're going to make a quick buck. There are people like that, but the majority really are the ones who want to come forward and say, hey, stop abusing your authority. Stop, you know, rigging the bits for procurement. They're the ones who really want the money to go in the hands of the communities who are most needed.
And let's step back for a second before we get further into the Vaughan report.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some descriptions of some of the problems that you've been able to ascertain that have occurred at the World Bank?
Well, problems in terms of this what would qualify as internal corruption?
That, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, as I say, they are issues where the monies are either being mismanaged or being deliberately misrepresented. And what then happens is a chain of events, Liz. Let's say the person who saw, for example, the global bond and the amortization problem, that starts out as mismanagement. He reports it, hopes it will be corrected. The managers are so fearful that they'll get caught in the mistake that they refuse to admit. So now he's being retaliated against by not being allowed to maintain his job. He gets signed, as happens often with whistleblowers, into a much less meaningful job. He goes to the system that's designed to protect you, which is a kind of ethics ombudsman office. He reveals what's been taking place. They come back and they say, okay, we'll maintain your confidentiality, but we can't understand what you're saying. We need to involve the internal auditors because these financial charges are too complex for us. It's fine. The next knows his name has been given to his bosses as the source of this inquiry. So now he loses his job. He's a man not from the United States. Luckily, in his case, he had a way around the deportation issue. But essentially, if you work for a multilateral institution like the bank, you're here on a visa. And you don't just lose your job. You lose your right to stay in this country. Your family gets dislocated. You may not be able to find a job in your profession in your home country. And that's just one consequence. So there's consequences at one end of the scale to the individual who tries to have the courage to do the right thing.
And then
the consequences are magnified by monies not going where they're supposed to be going, and being either deliberately misused. I mean, in the case of the Kenya school, for example, the economist at the bank who saw this brought it to the attention of the authorities at the bank was basically told to keep quiet. It's the problem, you know, it's the borrowing country's problem. So she reports it to the borrowing country, and they say, mind your own business.
Now, what would be the reason that the borrowing country would say, mind your own business?
Because they know that money hasn't gone where it's supposed to.
So are the borrowing countries part of this corruption?
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely. We have to be honest. I mean, sometimes it is indeed a laxness that starts from the fact that the World Bank has up until now not taken seriously corruption, whether it's in its own house or outside in the transmission of the funds that it makes to borrowing countries.
Now, in terms of some of the specifics, okay, you talked about the Kenyan school.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some of the other stories like that that you've been able to uncover.
That you can give some human face to.
Right.
I mean, there are any number of policy decisions that a lot of people whom you have talked to, I'm sure, in the larger community of concern around how the banks and the financial institutions like the IMF operate mm-hmm. and put their priorities. There are a number of engagements with private sector multinational companies with the logic, big infrastructure projects, whether they're roads, whether they're big dams, that these will actually benefit many, many more citizens of countries that are now grid or without sources of fundamental access to healthcare or education. The reason, of course, is that the bulk of the monies are going into infrastructure projects that dislocate people, provide governments a great deal of revenue source, and build governmental capacity, but then governments don't in turn reinvest that in their own social and education policies. So the consequences of some of those things can be you put the money, you make a deal. There's a MIGA section of the World Bank, for example, the Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, actually creates these kind of public-private pools of funds. And in some cases, and one of the cases was a couple whom we've been working, who was also ousted from his job at the World Bank, because he reported that putting monies in the hands of mining and particularly gold mining companies is introducing arsenic into the groundwater. And if you've been in any of these countries, Liz, where you see how the arsenic is used to separate the gold in the process, you will see these big lagoons that have this tainted, poisoned water. And those lagoons leach, and in some cases with heavy rains in tropical countries, the dams break. And now you're polluting the main water source for not only drinking water, but it contaminates the fish and it contaminates the vegetation. So it's that set of scope of things that the bank doesn't put as its priority. And when this particular senior advisor to the executive vice president, who's the Amiga unit of the World Bank, brought that forward, he too was said to be quiet, you're a troublemaker. The more he persisted, the more his suddenly his performance evaluations were suddenly not satisfactory, and he was denied renewal of his contract.
Let me get to a quick question or two here.
Sure.
Mildred, you have a question for Melanie.
Yes, I do, and this is for her, Liz. I don't understand how people can give in so easily to what the United States wants. Now, Paul Wolfowitz, one of the neocons, was the epitome of corruption before Bush promoted him to the World Bank. It was he who led the way into Iraq. He had to have that war. Okay. It is my understanding now that he is now trying to set up a branch of the World Bank in Iraq. Can he do this? What do you think is his motive? Why was he so easily welcomed at the World Bank? This I do not understand, and
well,
I'd like
Mildred,
your answer.
You're saying this is a question for Melanie, but you're taking my question. So,
okay.
We appreciate the questions that you've asked, and we'll have Melanie address them. But Melanie, I need you to hold that thought because we have to take a break right now because Paul Wolfowitz is definitely part of this discussion. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. We are talking about the World Bank. We're talking about internal problems at the World Bank, internal problems that include kickbacks, payoffs, bribery, embezzlement, and much more. I'm talking to the director of International Program for the Government Accountability Project in Washington, D.C. We will be back. Stay with us.
Can't quit it all. Another day.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry into how they're being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A review of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dahlia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call.
He was sitting on the side of the bed reading old love letter. Tears were slowly rolling down her cheek. He walked over and put his hand on her shoulder. She looked up and smiled and started to speak.
Stafford's got a brand new show, 335-8080.
See Jim Stafford's brand new show, 335-8080.
Go see Jim Stafford and take someone you love.
I am Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub.
If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger, join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. That's right, 2 to 5 every weekday. I look forward to hearing from you. If you have any problems with a personal work or family relationship, give me a call at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU. For the personal issues that matter most, call me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 5, every weekday afternoon. Then, go do the right thing.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
I'm gonna ride, I can't go on. I'm ride till the wheel fall off.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Our guest this morning is Melanie Olafiero, the director of the International Program for the Government Accountability Project, joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about corruption exposed at the World Bank. Melanie, welcome back. Paul Wolfowitz and the World Bank. We had a caller that raised the partial resume of Wolfowitz before he became in charge of the World Bank. How has he been doing? What is his connection to the bank? And can some of the fact that we have corruption being exposed at the World Bank be laid at his feet?
It's part of a continuing path, and your caller particularly asked, how can other people, and I think she meant other countries, give in so easily to the U.S. on these issues? If you go and read the sort of rules of procedure at the World Bank, it would say that the new president is elected by the board members. But we all know in reality the U.S. is going to put forward its own candidate, and they did that with Paul Wolfowitz, they did that with Stevenson. It's the unwritten power play that the rest of the world has very little choice but to accept, because it's always in some other bloc or smaller group or larger group of bloc of countries' interest to play nice with the U.S., or they throw some kind of enticement into the deal making. So Mr. Wolfowitz was, or the U.S. would get to designate whomever they wanted in that job. How much can be laid deep? It's really hard to say, because here he's now put together what he says is going to be his sterling sort of signature piece, and it is going to be anti-corruption, and he's been doing that all in secret. It's very hard to have a transparency reform.
Well, who called for the Vaughan report?
It was actually initiated under the prior president, James Wolfenson. So that came out in March. The call came in March. The report was delivered in April. On June 1, Paul Wolfowitz took over. He and been sitting on it. We've made sure he knew he had it. We said, this is your time. You want to do something smart. Engage your staff. Engage the Congress. I don't know if you know or your callers may know, but the Senate Foreign Relations Committee has for 2 years now been holding a set of hearings around the reform of the World Bank and other multilateral development banks like the Asia Bank or the Africa Development Bank. And they've produced some pretty damning sort of conclusions on the basis of these varied hearings. They've worked very cooperatively with the banks themselves, with the members of the U.S. Treasury that set policy for the different executive directors, and with the not-for-profit non-governmental community.
What are some of the conclusions that they have drawn that are the damning ones?
Well, they've actually put together a bill. The bill was passed out of committee at the end of the session last year. It resulted in new law that was carried forward under the Foreign Operations Appropriation Law signed in November. In there were very specific requirements for revenues and contracts of companies that needed to be made transparent. There was very specific whistleblower protection that required that the burdens of proof meet legal standards, which means if you claim that you've seen something wrong and now you've been retaliated against for reporting the truth, the person who retaliates against you must prove that he or she took that action, regardless of whether you made a disclosure or not. It's also elevated a kind of alternative justice. If you try to get justice in the system that any of these banks, but particularly the World Bank, offers, which is an internal appeals mechanism that you can then further appeal to an administrative tribunal, these are totally corrupted structures. They have no legitimacy. They are completely controlled by a management structure, whoever is sitting in the president's chair. And what Professor Vaughn did was say you need to construct ways to get impartial conflict resolution of disputes settled so that people will not be fearful of coming forward when they see wrongdoing. That blueprint, Mr. Wolfowitz has refused to address.
Now, well, the other issue that the caller raised is this concept of whether it is even reasonable or feasible for someone with a record or reputation such as Wolfowitz to be in a position like this. Should we be surprised that it's being done in secrecy? Should we be surprised that the Vaughn report is being sat on?
Not necessarily, but on the other hand, it's a political truism that the president of the World Bank gets appointed by the U.S., and then the U.S. has very close ties to what decisions that body will make.
But hasn't there or wasn't there some concern articulated by members of the World Bank?
Oh, very much so.
When Wolfowitz was appointed?
Yeah, very much so. But I can't tell you because I wasn't privy to what kind of negotiations, either cash sticks, that were presented to the other member states who sit on the board, but forced down their throat or not, there was acquiescence.
So when we look at the World Bank, one of the things that your report has said, and I think is just such a powerful statement, is that the World Bank is uniquely placed to set the highest standards for accountability worldwide. So if that is so, how is it that the world is not responding to their absolute and according to what we have, failure to do so?
It's, I think, in part because it is an opaque institution. So a lot of people around the world in their own countries who've been trying to create some avenue for their own citizen action to have a voice, to even discuss the terms of some of these loan agreements, has been bypassed. There's a need for structural reform in some very fundamental ways. And many of our colleagues around the world are trying to create some breach in what is now a total exclusion of the parliament. Parliamentary or elected legislative bodies in other countries. So what happens when even these agreements are made, the terms of these agreements are not discussed with the people. They're not acted on in any sort of deliberative or public process, but they are signed with an executive. And again, if you have a very weak balance of powers in many countries around the world where the executive still has considerable power over any sort of legislative or judicial branch of government, you've now created the climate for corruption. Whereas if you strengthened democracy in other countries, if you gave the voice to the people and their elected officials, you would begin to structurally shift and open up for a more accountable discussion, these kind of engagements that lead to these long-term odious debt conditions on countries.
Melanie, who would have the actual ability, who would have, or who has the moral authority, and who has the intestinal fortitude to make these changes in the World Bank?
I think it has to come from multiple sources, Liz. You kind of have to, you know, like anything else, it takes solidarity. One of the things that I think is most promising and that it's really worth looking at is that the United Nations, which is the preceding generation intergovernmental organization. So the sequence is that the UN was created first, and then specialized agencies were subsequently created. The World Bank is one of the specialized agencies of the United Nations. Around the world, the United Nations is held in much higher regard than it is in the United States. And that body has, within the last several months, made very, very concrete and progressive steps. And indeed, it has the potential to elevate the debate, if we could ever hear the debate, because board meeting minutes are not disclosed promptly at the World Bank, and they're so edited that we really don't know what goes on there. But indeed, if you could use as a lever the fact that the UN has already surpassed, for example, this Vaughan report that we've been talking about, has those best practices of providing safe channels for whistleblowers to get information into the hands of investigative bodies that are not yet independent even at the UN, but that issue is being considered right now at the UN. How do we make our investigation unit independent, and how do we make our tribunal for disputes arising over retaliation for committing the truth, as one of GAP's earlier whistleblowers said to us, that's under review to make it independent. So it cannot be corrupted by a conflict, by who pays the bills, by who might in the future benefit from a relationship with a world body like the UN or the World Bank. So that's one lever, is the UN.
Okay, hold the thought for the other levers.
Okay.
Because we have to take a break. I am talking to Melanie Oliviero, Director of the International Program for the Government Accountability Project, joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Exposed at the World Bank. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that time will.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Beijing. The Chinese government says it will begin talks with the United States and Europe on the subject of tariffs on auto parts. China has been accused of placing illegal tariffs, so outside parts makers have a harder time getting their products into the Chinese market. An estimated $20 billion worth of business is on the table over this issue. And Dateline Baghdad. Three Marine Corps officers have been relieved of duty because of a lack of confidence in their abilities. This decision comes in the wake of an investigation into a possible slaughter of Iraqi civilians on November 19th of last year in the city of Haditha. The officers were identified as Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Chesani, who headed the 3rd Battalion based out of Camp Pendleton, California, Captain James Kimber of India Company, Captain Luke McConnell, commander of Kilo Company. The decision came just 1 week after their company returned to the United States. Reports indicate that members of Kilo Company went through a village outside Haditha and killed people at random after becoming upset that one of their people had been killed by a roadside bomb. A freelance journalist made a videotape of the aftermath, which showed some of the dead still in their pajamas and the walls full of bullet holes and splattered with blood.
The Naval Criminal Investigative Service is said to be conducting an inquiry into that situation. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more this time, please. Thank you. Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry into how they're being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A rate of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dalia Hashad of Amnesty International, Liz Brown, on the award-winning wake-up call.
This is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer.
Become a hero at work. It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from that Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitments seriously. Our connection to the community isn't just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care. Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fail laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. I am talking to the director of the International Program for the Government Accountability Project in Washington, D.C., Melanie Oliveiro, and we're talking about corruption exposed at World Bank. And Melanie, we stopped you in the middle of a thought.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you. There are multiple levers, as I was saying, and the UN is one way to even create a kind of higher moral authority for the World Bank to align itself with. A second lever is to use our own U.S. Congress, precisely because the U.S. is such an influential voice in directing the decision-making at the World Bank. We have some very powerful allies, particularly in the Senate, with Senator Lugar from Indiana and Senator Grassley from Iowa. Both are senior Republican committee chairmen, Senator Lugar of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and Senator Grassley of the Finance Committee. Both of them deeply disturbed by the lack of transparency at the bank, by this evidence of corruption that continues unabated. And working with them, helping them get the kind of documentation and the sense of public awareness, importance that so much of U.S. taxpayer money is being mishandled in this way and not being accounted for adequately, is only going to strengthen their hand. Because each of them has tried to take on Mr. Wolfowitz directly, and each of them has been...
The current administration, how much does that weigh in on the fact that they have been rebuffed?
Well, there's a web that connects this administration with Paul Wolfowitz. There's clearly, it came out in the U.S. News Report and in other news reports, including not just in the U.S., Financial Times, which comes out of London and covers a lot of the European perspective on the U.S., that Mr. Wolfowitz came in and surrounded himself immediately with a team of people with very close ties to this administration.
And not only that, weren't there some policies and practices violated in the hiring of these people?
Indeed. They were not done according to procedures, but of course when you change, you know, the rule of law is a wonderful thing, Liz, but it all depends who makes the rules.
And who follows the law.
Yeah. So new rules allow a different process. And it's been very disturbing to the bank staff. And I would say that's sort of the third lever, is to create an opportunity for the bank staff to sort of have, to be empowered, to have a voice. It's very hard to have a kind of union movement inside an intergovernmental agency. The civil service unions are very weak, really. But to create a kind of solidarity pattern with civil society groups who are affected by these ill-advised projects and heavily indebted national treasuries around the world is one movement. And coming up in less than 2 weeks are the semi-annual meetings of the International Financial Institutions Board and their Board of Governors, which are the Ministers of Finance. They will be in Washington on April 23rd, 24th. To hold IMF and World Bank meetings. This is a time when many civil society and non-governmental organizations come from around the world to Washington, D.C., and it's really one of the few times the press does pay attention to the bank in the U.S. press, the mainstream anyway. And so it is another opportunity to sort of create, and one of the things we've been trying to do is to really liberate this Vaughan report, to get it out so that the staff can comment, so that Congress in its oversight role can comment, so that those of us who are trying to engage on accountability reforms can comment.
And it, does it take Wolfowitz to, it takes his word or his decision to implement the Vaughan report, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He has, I mean, the board, he controls a lot of what the board does and doesn't do. He controls what the board sees and what the board does not see. And in this particular instance, the board has had the report, but the board is at a juncture. We were just talking with the U.S. executive director who said, as far as because it's been put into this board process, it's now in this kind of zone of secrecy. The board, that this report cannot be released, which is why, although copies were being leaked, and Gap, of course, got one along with many other groups, including the writers of this news article and members of Congress. So we put it up on our website, and if your viewers want to see more, they can go to www.whistleblower.org. It's we're trying to create what the bank won't do.
It's
a public debate.
It's a 48-page document.
Yep.
It's very easy to read, and there are a lot of disconcerting things in that report when you think that these are not being done.
Exactly. It's things that you would assume that your money is being well managed and being watched carefully, and that people in your name are not victimizing those who come forward.
And we're talking about generally speaking, we're talking about the people that have the most needs out there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the goal of this institution to alleviate poverty. For the people at the other end of any kind of financial arrangement out of that institution.
Are we hearing from those countries? Are we hearing not from the countries necessarily that are complicit with it because they've got we didn't build a school, but we took the money and did something else. Are we hearing from countries that, you know what, the school wasn't built and we don't know where this money is? Where is our money that we're paying for? We're paying on this debt for stuff that we haven't gotten.
Oh, yes, there are. In every country, there are sectors of society that are trying to maintain some integrity to the way their own institutions manage. But as we know, many, many countries around the world have very fragile systems of their own internal accountability, of their own freedom of expression.
So conceivably, Melanie, we could have a country that is in serious generational debt with the World Bank that is paying for stuff, that money that they haven't received.
Oh, absolutely. They've even been overcharged interest rates. I mean, there's a lot of revelation, and there's some very, very adroit people with a lot more economics know-how than I have who have been following that whole arrangement of how deliberately or unintentionally, but in many cases deliberate, overaging has taken place on middle-income countries. So not the poorest countries, but those like Argentina or Mexico are overburdened. And then when they have currency crises and financial hardships, where does the blame lie?
With them.
Exactly.
With him. And again, Melanie, where can people get a copy of the Vaughan Report? Where can people read more about the corruption exposed at the World Bank?
Well, they can start with our website, which is www.whistleblower.org.
And Melanie Oliviero, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call. It's at 9.
Well, it's a pleasure. And again, I appreciate your interest on this serious subject.
Thank you so much.
I know.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, you know the drill. Stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You're born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brothers.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.